following program is an exclusive Disruption Networks production.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
When it's your hard-earned money on the line that you are investing into a home, it makes sense to choose a proven professional to assist you in making one of the biggest investments you may ever make. Josh's dedication of over 20 years to the home construction industry allows him to bring knowledge and experience to your doorstep. That means you can feel confident and comfortable with his service to you. Past clients love his attention to detail and thorough written reports. By allowing priceless inspections to help you make a well-informed decision concerning your property, you will find that a quality inspection is priceless. Follow Priceless Inspections on Facebook or call 315-525-8725.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident? Members of the team at Passalacqua & Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalacqua & Associates. 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425 or visit cnytriallaw.com today.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
EC Radio Disruption Networks. EC Radio Disruption Networks.
Back, that thing's not working. What's up, everybody? It's EC Radio. We're back. Remember me. Remember my face. It is not chicken. It is not Adeline. It is me, Anthony Z. Donaldson. How are you? Thanks for tuning in. It's Monday. It's rainy. It's a shitty day. It's been a tough day, the morning.
Oh, yeah.
I got it real quick. I don't want to really touch on it, but my dog passed away this morning. Well, Tori's. Dog passed away, Bentley. So she had a
sorry to hear that.
Like one of your children right there.
It really is, man. It was a sad day. And bumming about it, of course.
Yep.
How old? Like 15.
15.
15, so.
That's old. That's
she had a great life.
Great life.
The dog had long life for a dog. Had some great adventures and went all over the place. He used to go to music festivals with Mike and Tori back in the day. And Mike Hauk used to bring the dog on the bar and drink beer out of the thing. And then... You know, it then became, you know, my stepdaughter, if you will, you know. But she was going downhill kind of fast.
And she's
not suffering anymore. She's in a much better place.
Like I was telling you earlier, I still have that vision of Bentley on the boat up in my camp.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting there with her face in the sun, just like loving it, like smiling, just like cheesing it up. I'm like, man, that dog's in heaven right now.
Yeah, she was. She was.
They really do make life better, man.
She is a great puppy, but. But I don't want to bring the mood down because there's so much to talk about today. But it's Z, EC Radio. Chicken's here with
What's
me.
What's up?
Thanks for filling in for me last week.
Yeah.
You guys knocked it out of the park. That Pat Orlowski video came out great. A lot of people were chiming in and checking it out.
Man. You know what's funny is, like, I'm like, I hear an Easy Radio, and I'm waiting for my time, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm the one who's got to host. I'm like, waiting for Z to kick. Oh, fuck, that's me.
Yeah, that's you, chicken. That is you. But, hey, you and Addy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You guys had a good time here. I'm trying to bring my Zoom in. I got to be the producer and the host.
Pat was great. Laura from Old Babies was great. You know, they made it easy, you know.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about, and you mentioned it too when she was on, we're going to talk about the Grub and Gab in just a little bit. A new segment we have here going on around the D, the Grub and Gab. That's the wrong one.
This will be a lot of fun when we get this thing.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
We got, it's a food challenge, essentially.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it a little bit of a party, too. You know,
God
it's not
knows
just,
we all love food.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
And God knows we know how to throw a little bit of a party, too.
That's very true.
We do that.
We've done that once in a while.
Once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice. Drama also joining us today. Good to see you.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back.
It's been a while.
It's 1 week.
Yeah, it was a week for me, too. I was out at Paper Mill Island, and you just took the week off and got you in the captain's seat.
Yeah, it was a good experience for me.
Yeah.
Like what Chick and I discuss off there, it takes you by surprise a little bit because you're not used to the setup and the format and everything. But once I got rolling, it was really cool to be able to see the direct interaction with the social media outlets while you're going and while you're talking.
Yep.
That was really cool. I really enjoyed that, being able to see people in the moment commenting and everything like that, because it really helps the direction of the show to be able to do that. And I tried not to stare at myself in the monitor, that was throwing me off. I'm like, that ugly motherfucker. That part throws you off when you have gross
I'm looking
insecurity.
Into my own eyes.
Yeah. Gazing at that eyes that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Is it gay that I find myself sexy?
it's funny you say that. The first time I ever saw me with this little thing that goes on in my head, this little line that goes on up around here.
Oh, I catch that glare all the time.
I never seen it before until you see yourself in the monitor.
Yeah, it's difficult because you're looking at yourself and no matter what people want to admit, everybody has insecurities.
Yeah.
So when you hear yourself the first time on the radio, we've all been at this for a while. I mean, you guys have the experience, but I've been doing my show for over a year. The first time I heard myself, I wasn't in love with it. The first time I saw myself, and you guys are close friends of mine, you know I hate taking pictures.
Yeah.
I don't like being in pictures. And most of the time when I'm taking selfies and shit like that on social media, I'm doing it as a joke. I'm actually being facetious when I'm doing it. So it was kind of weird, but it was cool, too.
Yeah. See, I feel the same way. Like, the first time I heard and saw you, I didn't like it either.
Yes, believe me.
No, I hate my voice. I hate watching myself. And you look and you're like, damn, my eyes are red. And
I have my old air checks from K-Rock.
Do you?
I should bring those in because I bet you they're hilarious. They're just all high-pitched and just very
and it's amazing,
unexperienced
too.
Z.
And then I see, like, guests come in and when you have different guests on your show and you get to listen to them while they're on your show and they're articulating themselves, like today, Tommy Lamach was on, and I was like, this dude's got a really good radio voice.
Yeah, he does.
Really good.
Yeah. And he's a great singer, too.
Yeah, and it was like
a really good musician.
You know, we had a great show today, and I'm listening to him, and I'm like, this dude's a natural. So, but it was fun.
He's been on all our shows, too.
Yep.
So he loves it. In fact, that's the first thing he said when he got off air. He gave me a hug. He goes, I love being here, man.
Yeah, he's going to come back and visit Back Talk and do it with the band and check out that aspect of it. But it was a good show today, man. It was good to be back. And
Tommy Lamach, he brings a good little group with him. Like, he came and played at O'Donnell's. Yeah. I'm like, we'll see how this goes. And the place was packed.
He's talented.
Yeah, he had a great band with him. Did some like really cool off-the-cuff covers, man. It was cool.
Definitely. But
of course, I got to put my headphones up.
I had to turn everything down. That's an inside joke we have here at Disruption Network.
Well, I'm deaf.
Well, I mean, look, it's one of those things where it's understandable. You've been in the music business and been in a band your entire life, so obviously your hearing is going to be a little bit more impaired than the normal everyday person, but I was not prepared for it when I sat down. I did the mic check earlier with Todd, and Todd was, thank God for Todd. Shout out to Todd for helping me through everything today and
that's what I was going to say.
Walking me through, because it really is quite the experience when you're trying to do it yourself.
When you're up there, you're not like on a tightrope by yourself, man. There's a safety net. Todd's always kind of there, you know, kind of pick up. He did it when I was hosting the EC Radio. I forgot to switch the cameras on, and bam, Todd got it.
Yeah, he's right on top of shit.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah,
thanks,
Todd. Shout out to Todd for helping me out, man.
Man, I had a wild week, I'll tell you.
I was, you had some good shows
you were going on over there.
Over at Paper Mill. Yeah. Man, give it up for my creative concert crew. We kill it. We do. We absolutely kill it. We have a great crew, a great team, and I love every single one of them sons of bitches from the bottom of my heart. We had a lot of fun this week, and a lot of work, too. I walked 40 miles in 1 week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I had a golf cart. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, right?
You know?
Well, that's great exercise, though.
It was. 40 miles 40 this week, because I have it on my phone, on the iPhone. Yeah, yep. It's like 25,000 steps a day.
Wow. Only 10,000 are required.
Is that it?
Well, yeah, for normal fitness, they tell you to take
for the Attaboy star or whatever they go.
Yeah, well, they tell you take 10,000 steps a day that's healthy. You know,
yeah,
it would be equivalent to exercising, you know, keeping yourself active.
25,000 a day, killing it. But a great week, man. We had Umphrey's killed it on Thursday night. What a great band. If you haven't seen Umphrey's, what are you waiting for? They're rocking. The other night, you don't know what you're going to get when you see Umphrey's McGee. Like, one night, they could be this jam band. One night, they could be this heavy metal band. One night, they could be this funky band. One night, they could be, like, an EDM-type band. You never know what you're going to get out of those guys. And the other night...
Except for a good show.
Always
consistency
good show.
There.
Yeah. Ooh. That was me, huh? We got new mics because somebody stole our mic. But you never know what you're going to get on an Umphrey's McGee show. And the other night, they turned into a jam band. They were jamming out, and they sounded great. And those guys are unbelievable. I got a great story to tell you, though. Wednesday night, when I was going up, I was already up there. The boss is up there, Chao. We're all kind of hanging out and just got done setting up the area and waiting for the porta-potties to come in. Somebody's waiting in the canal because it's right on a river. It's on the Seneca River, and it's an island.
Saw those pictures.
Where this video is. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Get out to Paper Mill Island this summer. It's a great venue. There's a lot of great shows coming up. Anyhow, there's a canal. It's Canal 24 in Baldwinsville. And somebody's waiting to get into this canal. It was Geraldo Rivera.
Really?
It was Geraldo Rivera.
Did you throw a chair at him?
I had it on my Instagram.
I want to throw a chair at him now.
I had it on my Instagram. He had this beautiful boat. And he's waiting to get into the canal, and I'm taking the picture because I was only taking the picture of the canal opening up. I didn't know Geraldo Rivera, but all of a sudden he comes, and we made eye contact. I'm like, hey, it's Geraldo. What up, man? And he waved and said hello, and he docked his boat and parked and went to the diner and kind of hung out in Baldwinsville, checked his Twitter the next day, and he's doing this little canal tour. And he's going from New York up to Ohio.
Nice.
That's his little tour.
He didn't stop for a show?
No, it was the day before the show. He had gone.
That's too bad.
I got up early the next morning to see if he was still there, and he was already gone.
Like, his crew, like, should be fired. Like, if you're going to stop there, you might as well stop there when a show's going on.
It was him and two guys.
Oh, well, then he should fire the other guy.
It was him and another guy. That's all it was.
I mean, you missed you could have cruised by and actually seen a show. It would have been kind of cool.
I think he was a day late, but that was cool. Geraldo,
can I ask you a question that's been burning through me?
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't see the comments. I caught the picture. Was that De Niro or a lookalike?
A lookalike.
Okay, because I was really confused by that, because he really does look a lot like De Niro.
He was great, but De Niro, the real De Niro's what, 5 foot whatever?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
He was like 6'3". This guy was huge.
And De Niro's like 70.
And he's also in his 70s, yeah. And that guy's just a Jimmy Conway impersonator. I had a great moment with him, too, when I was bringing him his ice, his cooler, and I'm like, what dressing room are you guys in? He's like, it's over there. It's over there. No, over there. I was like, oh, my God.
He just stays in character?
Stays in character. But it was hilarious. That was a fun time. And then we had Umphrey's on Thursday and then had a day off, but it wasn't a day off for me. I still had to do some stuff around the island and stuff. But on Saturday was Get the Lead Out, the Led Zeppelin tribute band. And those guys are killer. If you haven't seen them, they're coming to the brewery August 10th.
My birthday.
Saranac. Yeah, your birthday. Leo in the house.
That's it,
man.
That's it.
Leo
August
Power
10th.
Right there.
It actually falls on a Friday this year.
And you're a Zeppelin fan.
Sure am.
We went last year.
You should come. They're an amazing band. Yeah. What a recreation.
I have not seen them yet.
You haven't seen them? We went last year, and it's a great show. And you're outside on Saranac, you know, drinking some beers, having some fun. You know, it's a nice night, summer night. Go out and listen to some old rock.
Did it rain last show, though?
I think so.
Not on Forget the Leto.
Oh, it wasn't?
Wasn't?
No.
It did form the other day a little bit, and then it stopped.
Taking Back Sunday, it rained.
Yeah, I knew it was one of those.
Before that.
Yeah.
They almost had to cancel it.
That's right.
But thankfully, it held off, and they packed the house again. That was a good show.
It's the problem. Yeah, you're not going to miss it this year.
It's the problem with having these outdoor summer shows in upstate New York. It's a gamble. It is. It's mm-hmm. it's tough. You don't know if it's going to rain or not.
Yeah, but you know, if it's you're like, a true fan, you'll
see. It's abrupt here.
Exactly. If you're a true fan. And that's
you what, just tough it out.
That's why right. I love the hippies so much, because they're diehards.
I have to give them credit. You know, being they're at Mow Down and watching mm-hmm. it just pour.
Like, poor. It was like typhoons.
I know. I was expecting, like, you know, Noah to come floating through. You know,
like you said, that's not a deterrent to them. That's just actually more fun for them.
And that was Moses.
No, Noah's Ark.
No, Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Moses parted the sea.
See, I don't. Yeah. I'm not biblical, so I don't know. It's all.
I know a little bit, just the basic stuff like
come on,
that.
Floating Noah.
But you do got to give it up. You do got to give it up to the hippies, because they are
right.
They're yeah,
no doubt about
core.
It.
And the metalheads too. They're honestly the only difference between metalheads. And hippies
is the
are
violence.
The music. No, it's the music. It really is. It's the only difference. As far as communal goes and community and taking care of one another, both communities, the metalheads and the hippies, are very communal and very supportive yep. and will stand in a typhoon to support yep. their band day in and day out.
Yeah, weather's not
going to
be.
Mosh pit right in the mud.
Right, it's not going to be a deterrent, not the weather.
And
no
that's
way.
The thing is, like, people think a mosh pit is like filled with hate and violence and stuff like that, but you don't understand, like, with that music, with everything, you're getting that aggression out, mm-hmm. and you know, if you keep it amongst people who are participating. I hate when people just hit people that aren't involved in the mosh pit. You're like, some girl gets trampled or whatever,
right?
But like, you keep a pit that's organized and well right. done, and you got your guys around the edge, make sure nobody gets hurt. It's a great way to release some stress.
It
you know,
is.
A great way to get out there and somebody falls, you pick them back up.
And the same thing with the you hippies. Know? A great way for them to relieve some stress is dance around and spin around in circles. You know, that's what they do. And
yeah,
that's
doubt.
Their thing. That's what they do. And it's cool to watch, you know, each other's communities take care of each other. Like the
yep.
hippies, the same thing with hippies. They will take care of somebody struggling, having a hard time, heat stroke or ODing or whatever. They'll help them out. You know, same thing with the metalheads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It goes kind of both ways. And
oh, yeah.
We've got a couple of my boys checking in from the Creative Concert Cruise, Badger and Booth, checking in. What's up, fellas? We had a great weekend. I'm telling you, those guys killed it. Both of them killed it. Booth put together a great bartending team. And let me tell you, man, knocked it out of the park. Top-notch crew he put together. So you guys did good. Booth, you're still in your sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Still
wow.
in the sophomore slump. And Badger,
call him out.
And Badger, check this out. My boy Brian Badger just got off the road with Dancing with the Stars. He was the stage manager for Dancing with the Stars. He just did out a whole tour mm-hmm. for about a month and a half out to Vegas and California and stuff like that. And then he gets one day of rest and comes right back to work with the crew. So
no rest for the wicked.
My man's
that's
hardcore.
It.
He is. He's hardcore. And they knock it out of the park. And then on Sunday, we had DSO over at Paper Mill Island. I'm telling you, people, you should get out to Paper Mill Island this year. They've got some great shows going on. Gary Clark Jr. is going to be there.
I saw some of your pics, man. It looks like a beautiful place.
It really is. It is gorgeous. East One came up and visited on Thursday. He was blown away. He came up for Humphreys to check it out and see the scene. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So DSO on Sunday with Grateful Dead, little thing going on. People mm-hmm. were all spinning around and having a good old time. And yeah.
And we got some big shows coming up still over there.
Thank you. You got the thing in front
yeah.
of you, right? Thank you. Chicken, now over to you.
We got Gary Clark Jr. coming on the 21st of August.
No, Gary Clark Jr. is August 1st. It's not my birthday.
Oh, August 1st. Sorry. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. That's at Paper Mill Island. And then there's Modest Yahoo's playing.
Yes, that's on the 22nd. No, you want one of these?
Wow,
yeah, yeah,
Modest Yahoo.
You know Modest Yahoo, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Chop it down, chop it down. Yep. Andy Grammer. Andy Grammer's pretty popular. He's on the thing. Devin Allman, he's coming. And then Nako Medicine for the People, which is like this very spiritual, uplifting type of band. Nako's really popular
the
right
name
now.
Name sounds
it. Up. But yeah. And then we can't forget about our good friends and our sponsors over at Utica Club and the Saranac Brewery. They got a great concert series going on this summer, brought to you in part by our friends at Creative Concerts. And that starts up June 10th with the Dirty Heads. Tommy. You want to see a lot of little hot.
I'm in there this year, man.
Little single, little white hot women running around. You need to go to a Dirty Heads show.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
And this show is when?
They did in a couple weeks.
June 10th.
It's
at the brewery?
At the brewery. June 10th is a Sunday.
Our boy Jay Stevens.
I've never been to a Sunday show. I would love to do that.
You know what the saying goes? Never miss a Sunday show. That's the saying.
I did not know that saying.
Yep.
That,
yeah, that's the
I
saying.
I got to check
know
this one out.
So he brought it up a couple weeks ago.
It's at the Never Miss a Sunday show. And then a month after that, on July 11th, Revolution's coming in. There's a lot of reggae bands coming to the brewery this year. How you feeling?
There used to be a ton of them at Music Fest, right?
Yeah.
A lot of reggae bands.
Love it.
Being summertime, though, you're outside, it kind of fits, you know?
There is a lot of...
And you can't go wrong with
as that. As I like to call it, white boy reggae. We got a bunch of white boy reggae going on, but they're all great bands.
All great bands.
I'm not knocking them whatsoever. I just like to refer to them as white boy reggae. Anyways, Revolution.
I thought that was the genre.
But with Revolution, Stephen Marley's coming. Bob Marley's son's going to be at the brewery.
I did hear about that.
That's coming up on July 11th. Mm-hmm. And then coming up after that, Dispatch, getting back together. Dispatch, I think they broke up for a while. Now they're coming back. They're a big band, big selling ticket. If you're a big Dispatch fan, you better get your tickets now because it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. And then Slightly Stupid coming back. They're a big staple at the community, at the Saranac Beer Garden, if you will, on Varick Street. Right. Slightly Stupid's been around a few times. In fact, one of their members' wife is from Frankfurt. Can't remember the kid's name. Kyle. His name's Kyle. Kyle from Slightly Stupid's wife is from Frankfurt, New York.
Okay.
Yeah, he got himself an Italian woman. Because there's no other kind of woman in Frankfurt. It's only Italian women
exactly.
in Frankfurt.
Lucky him.
Lucky him, right. July 28th, our friends Taking Back Sunday are coming back, so that's going to be a good show. Get a little emo rock in there a little bit, mix it up with the white boy reggae. It's a good mixture this year. And then July 31st, the night before my birthday, Dark Star Orchestra. They always kind of play there around that day because it's the same day as Jerry Garcia, blah, 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 and you know how it goes.
Right.
Big party on Jerry Garcia's birthday. Then I mentioned Get the Lead Out on Drama's birthday.
That's right.
August the 10th. Now that's going to be a good time, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this because I've never gotten to see Get the Lead Out live. And my birthday finally falls on a Friday. So I'm going to take advantage of that.
I got to tell you, because Chicken isn't really a big Led Zeppelin fan because he's heard all the songs over and over again.
We're getting a classic rock station.
Yeah, totally. And, like, I'm totally sick of Stairway to Heaven and Black Dog and Rock and Roll. I'm sick of all
of them. I agree with you.
But what Get the Lead Out does, even though they play Whole Lot of Love and Stairway to Heaven is their closers every night. Mm-hmm. That's their closers. It's the go-to songs.
You have to.
They mix it up very, very well. They play songs that you're like, oh, my God, I forgot about this one. You know, right. They like to kick it up a little bit, so Get the Lead Out on August 10th. You got to come check it out. We're partying that night. Me and your drama, we're partying that night. And then August 17th, we're going to kick it back to 1994 and put on our Birkenstocks and play some Hacky Sack with Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler's in the house.
I'm going to put my toe ring on.
You got a toe ring?
Yeah, nice. just for this one.
Nice. I'm going to wear my Gilligan's hat. You know, that I'm going to wear one of those, and then I'm going to
bring the devil sticks, too.
August 17th, Blues Traveler's coming. John Popper is coming. Ooh, John Popper, by the way, is first cousins with our good friend Dallas Shepard.
Really?
Yeah.
Another tidbit I did not know about.
Yeah, Dallas and John Popper, second cousins, I'm sorry. Well, Dallas's mom and John Popper are first cousins, and that makes Dallas and him second cousins. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That is.
Anyhow, and then the one everybody's been talking about, all my friends are really amped up for, The Weekend with Mo, September 8th and 9th. I'm sorry, 7th and 8th.
Double dose of Mo.
Two nights of Mo. It's going to be off the charts. We got some after party festivities planning in the planning stages with the Celtic Harp and a bunch of other things we got going on. Yep. So that's the 7th and 8th. At the Saranac Brewery, two nights of Mo. When the family comes to Varick Street, look out. It's always a shit show.
The morons?
The morons, right.
I mean, usually Varick Street's full of morons.
Right, but these are
morons.
Morons.
That all starts this Thursday.
We got our boy Bill checking in Vancouver. He's saying, wearing his girlfriend's slippers, cleaned out the walk-in, listened to the show.
Nice.
Floating O was a good band. And then he says, Chicken is a Dolly Parton fan.
I knew that about you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew that about she's got really nice eyes.
Yeah. You know.
Very nice.
She's shrunk, too. You know, like, the older she gets, the shorter she's getting. So now she's right around about 4'8".
Yeah, she looks like a Muppet.
Yeah.
But somebody was just telling me, like, what amazing songwriter she was. Like, she wrote songs for a lot of famous other people that you wouldn't know. And I was like, wow, I just always thought she was like a...
Oh, yeah, she's had longevity for sure.
Dolly Parton. How does Dolly Parton come into the mix?
I don't know. Boobs.
Mary Fesh, we're all over the place.
Mary Fesh is saying, don't forget the mohos.
Mohos.
The mohos.
Yes, you're definitely the president of that fan club, Mary. That's for damn sure. The mohos. Yeah, mohos.
At least you said it that way and not the other way.
They always got some...
The homos. Would have come across the same way.
I'm psyched because Mo is bringing in Aqueous the first night. Aqueous is a great band, up-and-coming band. They're about to blow up. They're like one of those bands around the cusp. You know, they're right there, and Mo giving them a little push will help them get over that cusp. Aqueous kick-ass band, check them out. Yeah, Bill saying Muppet. That's funny. That is funny. So many great things going on. Also, since I am on the subject of creative concerts and we're talking about that, they got some things going on. Black Label Society coming up on July 27th at the SI Hall at the Fairgrounds. And then another band, Chicken's Big On, is Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah, they're a good band.
They are a good band. They're a great live act. That's coming up in October. That's coming up. We'll be talking about that a lot.
You know, Zach Wilde?
Zach Wilde and Black Label Society. Come on. Yeah. Black Label.
Talk about a legend.
He's going to be in Syracuse twice in a month.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be
there at
Black Label on the 27th and Ozzy at the Fairgrounds.
So pumped for that.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Ozzy. And you got if you're going to see Ozzy, go see him now because you probably will never see him again.
No, that's what we talked about on EC Radio the last time I was here.
And Ozzy with Zach. I mean, the last time I seen Ozzy, was Zach was with him.
Yeah.
So it was the No More Tears Tour. No More Tours. Part one.
Yeah. And I've never gotten to see Ozzy, so I'm looking forward to that.
You got
to
go. Yeah. You got to go.
He's one of those guys that, like, you got to see him now before he dies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which could probably happen right there at Lakeview Amphitheater. Yeah, right. He could probably drop dead right on stage.
I don't know. Ozzy is, he's like.
Keith Richards.
Yeah. He's, it's one of those things where I'm in, like, shock and awe. I saw a little tutorial of him practicing and you know doing little mic checks and you know live little snippets for the farewell tour, and I looked at him and I'm like, as old as he is, you still can't tell. Cannot tell.
No, you can't.
I mean, he really did age well for a rock star, bro.
You know what's funny is
I mean, it's crazy to look at Ozzy. He really doesn't look
until he starts shaking.
There's a meme out there that
well,
says
he was still singing and plugging away, man. I was pleasantly surprised by him. We'll say that.
There's a meme out there that says every time a rock star dies, Keith Richards gets a quickening. I think Ozzy's the same way. You know.
Yeah, but Keith Richards looks like
he looks like he's
he
been
walked
dead.
Out of King Tut's tomb. I mean, he looks rough, but Ozzy, you know, he looks better. He looks better than Keith Richards.
You remember we went up to the Ozfest years ago? It was like Iron Maiden and Ozzy or Black Sabbath.
Maiden, Sabbath, Mudvayne,
yeah.
Rob Zombie.
Oh, such a good show.
Great zombie festival. Too.
Yeah. And,
I'm a huge zombie guy.
Oh, he puts on a great show. But I remember sitting there rocking out, and like you hear like. Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden, and you see these old guys up there. Like, they're old, and you're like, these guys are the kind of guys that tell you to turn it down, and they're fucking cranking out some metal, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, this is, I feel old now.
The true roots, brother.
It really is.
But you got other shows, bro, like, you know, from Good Nature and Paper Mill Island, if you want, or, okay. Well, we did Paper Mill.
We mentioned Paper Mill. Yeah, Good Nature's got some good stuff, and thank you for buying my PA. yeah, we Heavy Pets coming up on this Sunday. They're a great band. The Ghost of Paul Revere, Amy Helm, that's going to be huge. Martin Sexton, you guys got to get yourself familiar with Martin Sexton. He's been around for a long time. He's a Syracuse guy and has been doing things on a national level for couple decades now. So Dark Hollow is going to be there. Donna the Buffalo, Driftwood, Uprooted, all happening at Good Nature Brewery in Hamilton, which is a great facility. You guys got to check that out. It's an awesome brewery up there. They have really, really good beer. Really good beer. I mean, they've got hoppy stuff, but then they have ales as well and lagers.
They got Old Man Beer?
They got lagers.
Okay.
They got that's the one I like the most.
I like lagers myself.
They call them the blondes. So I was drinking blondes all day.
I don't mind blondes.
Yeah, I don't mind blondes.
I don't mind a redhead now.
As long as it's wet, right?
I love redheads and blondes.
Wet beer, right?
I just had my first blonde.
Wetter the better.
Wetter the better.
But Good Nature out in Hamilton, it's a really cool facility. Go check it out. All this stuff can be found online at www.cctix.com. There's your promo, Chael. Love
all
you, pal.
All this brought to you by There's Nothing to Do in Utica.com.
There's nothing to do. This place sucks. CNY.com.
Well, you have to admit, there is more to do now.
Well, not only that, but as
there is more now than there used to be.
As I pull out my other list here.
I mean, we didn't get to the Lakeview shows. We didn't get to, like, Amagain.
No, we're talking about creative concerts. I got to give Chael a rub. He took great care of me this weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
I actually had to fire somebody this weekend. It was great. I love that.
I could use a rub.
Wait. Did you do it, like, do it Trump style?
I could use a rub.
No. You're fired.
Oh, you're fired. You are fired.
I could use a rub.
I thought, well, that would sound like something Trump would say. I could use a rub right now, folks. I could use a rub. I had a rough week. Give the president a rub.
Bill's saying he likes Asians and midgets, and I too like Asians and midgets, and I also like Asian midgets.
I knew you were going to say that.
So
I'll take any kind of Asian I could get.
They'd still be taller than Tommy.
Probably. Probably. That's not hard to do.
Hey, Tommy, you know, I got to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm going to jump right off subject now.
That's okay.
This is where the ball goes to a curveball. I really loved Cobra Kai.
Amen.
Loved it.
I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's what I started off doing. I saw months and months back, I saw that it was in production. And
Chicken, you seen it yet?
No.
I saw the initial, and it was a false report because we get a lot of that on social media. You know, the Rotten Tomatoes community type of thing. And the initial thing was we have Cobra Kai in pre-production, and it's going to be a comedy. So I was like, oh, come on. They're bringing these characters back, and it's going to be like levity from The Karate Kid, and I didn't quite get it.
With laugh tracks. And
yeah, and I was just like, it just didn't make much sense to me, being an 80s buff and a film guy. And I was like, okay, this doesn't make much sense to me. But, of course, I would check it out just to see what it was when it does come out. And then a good friend of mine told me, dude, it's not going to be a comedy. Check it out. And then it got released, and I've been busy with work. The season broke, whatever, and I finally had a few days to myself. And it doesn't take long because it's only 10 episodes, and it's a half hour long.
Half hour long.
So you literally, a binge watch is just an afternoon or an evening, whatever. And I checked it out, and it is fucking incredible.
It really is.
It's incredible. I mean, to say that a YouTube Red, or, you know, you have the Netflix series, this is YouTube Red, but you wouldn't imagine having the Karate Kid franchise and then having a spinoff series do it justice, but they really did. The writing was good, and both of Zabka and Ralph Macchio got back on board because of the writing. Mm-hmm. And because they apparently, I saw an interview with them, they had been approached multiple times, both of them, on reboots and going into different ideas.
It's a good thing they didn't do a reboot.
But they were both not receptive to all the ideas coming into this script being presented to them. When this script was presented to them, both of them lit up and said, okay, this is a different direction. We could learn more about the characters. And I'm not going to give too much away, but this is an introduction into both of their backgrounds, the parallels and the common grounds that they have, even though they're rivals. They did great with it.
I say it's the right time to do it too, because
the nostalgia factor. Is.
Everyone's our age. You know,
it's
have
huge
children
already.
And
it's huge already.
It's 32 years old now.
Yeah, but it's huge already.
Right.
Because this thing took off. Because
you guys grew up with Karate Kid, so you're like, I'm watching this, right?
I remember watching it when I was on vacation at Wildwood, New Jersey. We went to the movie theater to go see The Karate Kid. That's how big it was.
So now if you have children, you're going to have them watch the originals, go back and rewatch it. And now it's a bigger growing franchise again.
William Zabka is 52 years old, and Ralph Macchio is 56 years old. So coming from our generation, you watch The Karate Kid, you see it monthly. You know, our generation. I watch it all the time. And it's constantly on, you know, TV, and it's on, pay channels or whatever, HBO, et cetera. And the thought that Ralph Macchio is almost 60, and especially looking at him in the series, you can't tell.
They both look great.
They look great.
Yeah.
They look
he
wonderful.
Stayed golden.
Yeah, that's C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, that was.
That's Pony Boy.
Yeah, I thought he was the one that died. Yeah, you're right.
But I'll tell you what.
That was a long
time
ago.
They did great. And one thing I was impressed with the series that I have to say is Ralph Macchio hasn't been at it in a long time. Neither has William Zabka. They've been behind the scenes. They do a lot of directing things and shit like that. Neither of them missed a step as far as acting. Not a step.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they're just natural actors. Mm-hmm. People could say, oh, no, they weren't that good of actors. I beg to differ. They just picked up where they left off. And the introduction of the new characters mixed with the old characters was kind of cool. And I really, really enjoyed episode 4 when it played into Miyagi's death and him going to the cemetery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was really cool that they paid homage to yesterday.
You kind of have to. Well, they paid homage to yesterday in pretty much every episode with the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And my favorite episode is when they go out and get drunk together.
This is what I'm saying.
It all happened on accident.
There's right, but you see, going through this 10 episodes, you see a bond starting to develop.
Yeah.
And it's in. I'm going to tell you something right now. Be prepared. There's going to be many, many seasons of this.
You think so?
I know so.
I bet you it doesn't go past five.
Five would be a lot, though. That's you know, that's
that seems to be like the new mark with some of these shows. They get up to like five, seven tops, but
I really like to see where they go for the next one, especially the way it ended.
Well,
and I
think
that
I got a pretty good idea, and I'm not going to blow anything up for the people.
Yeah.
Get out there and watch it. But it did end with one of those things where I was like, okay, all right.
They totally leave you hanging.
See, yeah.
One of the problems I have with like Netflix TV shows, and I watch Orange is the New Black and a few others, Trailer Park Boys, they release it all at the same time. So you binge watch it, now you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, now you got to sit there and wait another year or two before you can go back and.
When do they plan on coming out with season two for Cobra Kai?
Here's what they normally do. This is YouTube Red, and it's structurally it's the same thing as how Netflix does it. What they do is it's the same thing as when they had Stranger Things, for instance. They did this show for Netflix. They release it 10 to 13 episodes. It's a trial run for them. They let the first season go by to see the public's reaction to it, and same thing with Cobra Kai. They had an insanely positive reaction from, you know, the viewership out there. So they're going to go right into production right away. But this also creates...
That's awesome.
And I have to say this to the people because you have to understand something, that YouTube Red exists for monetary purposes. Because there is... If you pay close attention to the Cobra Kai, there's a lot of sneak-ins. With very close-ups of Johnny Lawrence constantly drinking Coors Light.
He's
got Sam's Club soda throughout. I mean, there's a lot of plugins there. They're subtle, but they're in there.
You're right.
It's a great way to do it, though.
It is. Very subliminal, but very intelligent as well.
So he drinks his Coors Light.
Right, and I caught him. I caught the subtleties.
Or just regular Coors, actually.
Yeah.
They're the banquet beers.
Banquets, yeah. Coors Banquets. So there was subtleties like that, but I get crazy with the stuff that I enjoyed when I was younger. So I did a little research. They don't pay these guys chump change. They are making $140,000 and $135,000 per episode.
Wow!
So they are making a season over $1 million, and the younger actors and actresses. Quite a few of them are also making in upwards of $130,000. Some of the upstarts were making only a couple, just like $30,000, but the rest were all making $85,000, $90,000. So even the upstarts that are coming up that have gained and garnered fame from this and notoriety, they got quite the good paycheck.
Let me say, man, there's some talented kids on that group.
These kids are
really, really talented, especially
good actors.
You start
good
watching
and
them come out of their shell as characters, and for you to be able to do that and develop that character at such a young age.
And it's going to develop into. There's going to be multiple seasons of this because they have written out a direction that they want to go. But I'm happy to see one thing as it progresses. Zabka and Ralph Macchio, they're both going to make more money. Going forward.
Oh, totally.
And they deserve to. I hate looking back at 80s actors and you look at guys that are in Hollywood now that are, and I'm going to just come out and say it. You look at like the Jason Stathams and the Vin Diesels, those guys are not talented actors.
Right.
They don't have a lot of lineage in acting, just action films. And these guys are filthy, filthy, filthy rich in the hundreds of millions. Then you got guys like William Zabka that's been in classics, just one of the guys in the Karate Kid, and Ralph Macchio, who's been in the Outsiders and the Karate Kid franchise.
My cousin Vinny,
and they're worth $1.3 million, these guys, because they just didn't have the paychecks back then. And I want to see these guys have longevity now and get into making big money now. I'd like to see them get paid $1 million per episode and you know, get what they're worth. I mean, they definitely deserve it.
Yeah, you got to check it out, Chicken. And it's the way they did it was great.
They did a phenomenal job.
The writing's great. The way they developed these kids as characters and the way they watch these kids come out of their shell.
Yep.
And then the whole story and then with the flashbacks that they got going on. And just it's funny when, you know, Macchio's got dialogue going with his wife, and he goes, "Oh yeah, those kids pushed me off the cliff before, you know." And he,
well, yeah, she makes
remember
a,
that
she makes a statement to him, because you have to understand something. The wife in this, I'll give just a little tidbit because it doesn't give away too much. What Z's referring to is the roles are now changed. As everybody knows, the Karate Kid Ralph Macchio, his character Daniel LaRusso, moved from Newark, New Jersey, to
Parsippany.
Yeah. Well, now that's where his uncle's from. From Newark.
Oh, he's from Newark.
Yeah. His character moves from Newark, New Jersey to Reseda in California. And that's the poorer part, like where we would be comparable where we grew up. And in the new series, he is the Encino guy now. He owns car dealerships. He's the money man. Mm-hmm. And his wife met him after he made his money. So he has a family now, and Johnny has the role, who used to live in Encino, used to be the rich kid. He is now down on his luck in Reseda, where Daniel used to live, and down on his luck. So you have the parallels have switched a little bit, and they draw on that, which I thought was brilliant.
And what else is brilliant is just the rivalry amongst the two.
Yeah.
And in pretty much every episode, too.
Yeah.
It's just some... It's great. It's great.
There's not a character that they leave behind either. If you're thinking about a character from The Karate Kid, they talk about it because they know you're thinking about it. Like, you're thinking about Allie, and they talk about it.
They talk about Allie.
They talk about Allie. They don't leave anything out there. You think about Miyagi. You think
he talks about that night that he got beat up by Miyagi to one of the kids.
Yeah, and that's right. And it's they have their own version still, right, which was really good.
I love that part about it.
Isn't that great?
I love that part. I want to spoil it so bad right now.
Yeah, but it really is brilliant the way, and you're touching base on something important. They're still rivals, mm-hmm, and they still have their own versions of how the 80s unfolded.
Have you guys ever watched How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Just a few episodes.
They have, what's it, Zapka on her?
Yeah.
They have him and Macchio on there, and he was saying how he was actually the one who was being abused. They changed it all around, so it made him look like the
right.
That's the thing. Ralph Macchio.
Got off the subject a little bit. She was talking about bullying his wife, and she refers to Daniel goes back and says, "Listen, I know a thing or two about being bullied. I was thrown off a cliff.
Yeah.
When I was on my bike, and." You know, they have two kids now, and Zabka has one son, and again, it's very interesting. I saw Masucci gave it after being a detractor, and I was a detractor myself. I saw that Masucci came around and said, "Wow, I was pleasantly surprised by it as well."
I was too.
I really was. I was shocked.
I binged it.
It was that good.
You can watch the first two episodes for free on regular
yep.
YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch that, and then you go to regular. But I watched it on Kodi.
How many episodes are there?
Ten. And they leave it wide open for another season. It's great.
Yeah, I think there's going to be things that are going to come into. I was taken back and shocked when I saw Daniel's mother. It was awesome seeing her back.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that. And I think I have some ideas in my head that I won't throw out there, but I kind of think are going to get thrown into the show.
They should put, like, Rainbow in as, like, Miyagi's, like, drunk cousin.
I mean, that was a tough part. Listen, it's tough to watch this.
Without Miyagi?
Yeah, because you think, and especially they have a lot of tender moments, like, reflecting on him, where if you're a huge fan of the franchise like I am, you'll get welled up a little bit because you're like, wow, you know, that dude not being there. And obviously Pat Morita passed away in, like, 2000, and I think it was 4 or 5. He passed away. In the show, they got him passing away at, like, 2011. But he passed away, you know, much before that. But I kind of have some ideas where I think some people from the franchise, because if you remember, they during the series, they alluded to The Karate Kid Part 3.
They did?
Oh, yeah. They talked about Mike Burns.
Oh,
They talked about Silver,
yeah,
the guy with the ponytail
that's
and everything.
That's right, yeah,
they talked about them guys. So I think... you're seeing the beginning of Cobra Kai. This is just the infancy.
I think so, too.
And I think on Daniel's end, just I'm going to say one thing. Just and this is just me thinking out of the box, but I kind of think it's going to come into fruition. Just remember Karate Kid 2, because I think that you're going
to
see...
Well, they're doing it on purpose, so now you have to go back and watch all three.
I think, but they don't make any references to Karate Kid 2.
I didn't hear any.
Not yet.
No, they don't.
They still
get
more seasons
ago. But I think that there's going to be some people from the past that are going to show up back into Daniel LaRusso's life.
Well, you figure they got if they are going to do multiple seasons, they're going to have to reference other parts of these movies. You don't want to blow your wad.
Well, put it this way: you are a fan of the franchise and you've seen them as well. We're not going to say much, but at the end of this series, you will be like, "Oh shit!" You'll be shocked.
Yeah,
because they leave you with you can't wait for season two now.
Right,
trust me,
they do.
Good,
they really leave you that way because they left the characters have now developed, matured, and you could see one of the characters who's a male, go from a very meek kid who's a gentleman, kind of turning in a direction where now because of some training he's kind of a dick. Starting to become more brash, and it's going to go in some different directions.
As long as they keep the same writing style. What I hate is when you get a good first season, and then the second season just blows.
Well, here, this is the thing that I, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what I was impressed with the most, was when I saw the interviews with William Zabka and Ralph Macchio, they said that they only took the gig because of the writing and the fact that the guys that wrote and directed this with them were fans of The Karate Kid, like diehard fans. So they had so much respect for the series that they have never done it injustice as far as the writing goes so far. And that's why they accepted the roles. And Chicken's right when he said like 10 minutes ago that it was the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Because nostalgia-wise...
Yeah, I mean, We're older now.
We're older.
We
grew up watching them
a little bit
and
more.
And it's a shame because
and people are introducing
and
them
I
to
bet
their kids.
I bet you the ratings are killing right now.
Oh, they are.
They gotta be.
Listen, my daughter's generation is hopping on and saying,
"Yeah,
wait a minute, this series." And now they're going back and asking me questions like,
"Now you gotta go watch."
Hey,
all
Dad,
three
is The
again.
Karate Kid a good movie? What? You've never seen it? Go watch it. And then you get the response. Wow, I could watch that 100 more times.
No, what you're going to have is these parents.
Timeless.
These parents
Timeless.
Going back and buying their kids on Christmas and birthdays, buying them the trilogy. You know,
I do
the,
have to give one.
The old franchise wah, movies.
Wah, wah, though, I have to give one. Because I did hear, there's one Karate Kid, even the next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank was tolerable for me because it still had Miyagi in it. I don't even, a lot of people don't even remember that. But they called it the next Karate Kid, and it was he trained Hilary Swank. And we have a, and then everybody's forgettable experience with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan.
I never seen it. I won't.
Right.
I
and
won't
exactly.
Watch it.
And I watched like 20 minutes of the movie, and it was enough for me. And that was it.
I won't watch it.
No.
And
it does make me feel like going back and watching the original.
Right. And what do you think? And what do you? And I'm going to do that. Yeah. And you know what happened?
What happened?
I went and I did a little research because I had something in my head that told me. Look up and see if with this Cobra Kai success, if they're doing something with Jaden Smith. And boom, I Googled it. Pre-production, they're trying to make another Karate Kid with Jaden Smith.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Karate Kid Part 2 with him. And I'm like, come on, man. This is only going to throw shade on the Cobra Kai series.
Right.
Now. Leave it alone. Yeah. They should have never, and it's not anything about Jaden Smith. It's just that there's movies that you... That's like somebody saying, look, we're going to remake The Godfather or Jaws. No, you leave it alone. You don't touch a classic like that.
I agree.
You don't remake E.T. You don't remake Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's why I'm glad they didn't touch The Outsiders.
Right. And listen...
They better not.
You know,
right.
Well, there was so many times.
Well, they did Red Dawn.
Right. And
Red Dawn was a classic, too.
You don't touch those movies. They're untouchable. You don't touch those movies. And they do them injustice. Look... Everybody, we will all be in agreement that you won't look at Point Break and say, oh, that's a great movie.
No.
You're like, but it's a pretty good movie.
It was all right. It was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. But
not worthy of a remake.
The remake was a travesty. You don't, even that a movie like that with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves, you don't touch that.
Right.
Leave it alone. You leave it alone. In these movies, this is where you know.
Did you see the RoboCop?
Yeah, I mean, they're running out of ideas.
Oh, that was fucking terrible.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. They're running out of ideas.
There is no original ideas anymore. And they are just going in different directions. And that's why I'm happy when I talked a little bit on Back Talk about the Halloween franchise. Because they literally haven't made a movie since Rob Zombie's mid-2000s, his revisions. And they were revisions in his own eyes, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed. The revisions from Rob Zombie. Now, he has a rift going with John Carpenter. They don't get along. So John Carpenter, obviously, the original creator of Halloween mm-hmm. with Deborah Hill, he doesn't like the zombie versions. But they're going in a different direction right now. Eastbound and Down. I always forget his name. What is his name?
Danny McBride.
McBride, yeah. He is actually directing... In part, the new Halloween movie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
Which the trailer should be released pretty soon. And it's at the CinemaCon and different horror movie cons. It's really seeing rave reviews.
See, I'm more of a fan of, like, lesser budget movies, you know, kind of like independent type films.
Mm-hmm. That's how these ones started, though. They really did.
They're usually more creative. They got, like, a more original storyline. You get that wow factor, but without that whole over, you know...
You like movies like Sling Blade, how that started. Sling Blade was before, what's his name there, got huge.
Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes, Billy Bob Thornton.
I don't think I've ever seen that, actually, but...
Independent movie, great movie. Had John Ritter before he passed away.
But even it's like old like Tarantino movies like Pulp Fiction...
Reservoir Dogs,
yep. Or like Snatch. You know, movies that aren't like total huge budget mm-hmm. movies, but like they got a cool little storyline and like they're original. Like Snatch is a pretty original movie, and you know, I think it was one of Brad Pitt's my favorite Brad Pitt character was in that movie.
I'm a Brad Pitt guy, so I always liked Brad Pitt.
And Jason Statham's not the tough guy. It was kind of weird, but. I love the way the story went. You got to kind of almost watch it like 2-3 times to kind of understand what's going on. Those are the kind of movies I like. These over cinematized CGI type jerk off fest. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with Z. I mean, there's just no originality anymore. There's so many.
That's why I gave up on movies.
Right, and that's why it's so refreshing for. I implore people get out there and watch. You know, the series like Cobra Kai because it'll bring you back to yesterday.
And that's what I think. Like these TV series. They take over for the big movies. I barely ever watch movies anymore because I'm like, the TV shows are so much better. They got better character developed. They go more twists and turns.
And then you got these subscription-based applications that you can get into, like, you know, Netflix mm-hmm. and Hulu and stuff like that.
And we are 3 days away from Solo.
Dave Bandage
is it?
Yeah, May 25th.
May 25th, Solo coming out?
Yeah.
I hope they do that movie some justice.
Bandage put...
Again...
So non-Michael Bay extravaganza popcorn flicks.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, Bandage, yeah. I'll tell you what. I've been paying close attention to the Star Wars universe, as I always do.
Yeah.
My Instagram is filled with Star Wars pages, and I have seen nothing but good things about...
Really?
About... the extended trailers and the insights that people know about from the film. And
I haven't paid attention.
I'll tell you what. They have Danny Glover's son that plays Lando.
Crispin?
I don't think that's his name. No, that's Crispin Glover is Marty McFly.
Oh, okay.
Danny Glover's son from Lethal Weapon actually plays Lando Calrissian.
Okay.
The younger Lando. And he's pretty much, from what the recent hype about the film, it's almost like in a leading role. So Solo is supposed to be pretty good. I didn't have a lot of excitement about it, but it's still part of the Star Wars universe. So obviously I'll be there and check it out just to see. And I'm kind of going to make a little prediction here on EC Radio.
What's that?
I kind of have a feeling about Solo that it's going to be Rogue One-esque, and it's going to surprise people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think
it's going to be really good, and I think it's going to surprise people.
Donald Glover, a.k.a.
Donald Glover,
Childish
yep.
Gambino. Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Dave's our fact checker around here.
Yep.
Yeah, he is. Dave is good with that.
He's our fact checker.
So I think that's going to... I think it's going to pleasantly surprise people.
And I hope so, because if you're doing a Solo movie, it's got to be good.
I hope so.
You know what I mean?
And I think it leaves the avenue open because when you go, you think about this. We had Revenge of the Sith, and you didn't get all the way until Rogue One, you didn't get even a tidbit of anything with Vader. So there is so many holes that they could fill multiple Vader movies if they want to do it and go in that direction. Multiple Darth Sidious movies now, if with, they want to do it.
With Solo, do you think there's going to be more of a Boba Fett kind of character?
They didn't release anything.
Boba Fett.
I heard whisperings that there's going to be Boba Fett appearances in Solo, and I think that they're going to, because, you know, Han Solo was in that bounty hunter,
right, and that's what I was hoping they develop ring. That character a little bit
better.
Yeah,
I think they are. I think they're going to go with that. I think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised, man. I think there's going to be a lot of what Chicken's alluding to. I think there's going to be a lot of Greedo, a lot of, Mos Eisley. I think there's going to be a lot of that element in these movies, and anything that I see Woody Harrelson in, I get excited about.
Yeah, true.
A lot of people are Woody Harrelson haters. I love the dude.
I do too.
I love the dude.
Whenever you see Woody Harrelson, it's usually a pretty good movie.
Listen, Woody Harrelson gets fucking high as fuck and goes to work, man. Love that dude.
Just like me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, no, he really is like a. He is the closest thing in, as an actor, and I think people will agree with me, to a blue collar guy that you'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very simplistic guy. He has always been the same. From Cheers to now, he lost his hair, but Woody Harrelson is Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of that dude. And whatever he touches.
Dude, Zombieland.
Yeah, it's that much better.
Natural Born Killers.
White Man Can't Jump.
I mean, it's endless.
Kingpin.
Watch.
Funny.
And then
movie.
You forget about the actual range that he has.
Yeah.
Go watch Indecent Proposal when he was in it with Redford and Demi Moore.
Go watch that movie.
He's a fucking great actor.
He's in Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he did the final leg of the trilogy with the Planet of the Apes movies, which he was incredible in the last leg of War of the Planet of the Apes. He was amazing in that.
There's some of these actors.
A lot of range, man.
Great actor. You don't realize how many movies. Like, Seth Green.
Oh, my God.
You think about Seth Green. I haven't seen Seth Green in hardly anything. But then you think, well, he's in Robot Chicken. He's on Family Guy. You know, he's like all sorts
of. Right, and
like,
then you go back
parts.
To. People don't realize when he started. He was in 87.
Cheers.
He was the, no, in, Seth Green. The, he oh, was Seth the little Green. Brother in 87 in Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He was Patrick Dempsey's little brother in Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he goes back to, he was a little kid.
He was on that 70s show. Yeah. He, I mean, this guy's been on some major, major TV shows and movies.
All over the place.
Austin Powers.
Yeah. And Vern Troyer just died recently.
Band is just saying it's not Danny Glover's son.
Is it? It's not?
No. Says it's not Danny Glover's son.
It's Corey Glover's son.
I honestly, my apologies. I thought it was his son. I really did.
It's our fact checker.
Well, good
for him. Dave Bandage.
Fake news.
That is fake news. I delivered some fake news. I'm glad Dave helped us out with it.
Fake news.
I'll never live that one down. Be like, did you hear Artessa on EC Radio? Fake news. Told everybody it was Lethal Weapon guy's son. It was not. It's fucking fake news. Shut up, Artessa.
He was in with a good one and Lethal Weapon.
They're going to be like, you know, I'll hear that on Back Talk now. You were so racist. You thought he was black. Just because he's black, you thought he was Danny Glover's son.
Well, he said he's Donald Glover Jr. His father was Donald Glover Sr.
So yeah, that's what I meant to say. It's Donald Glover's son.
He was a postal worker.
Yeah, Donald Glover Sr. was a postal worker.
There you go. It all goes back to Trump. Trump's fighting for the postal workers right now.
All the black ones.
All the black guys in the postal office fighting for you all. That's amazing.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Well, yeah, I hope they do Solo some justice. They need to do it some justice.
I think they will.
But again, it goes right back to that lack of creativity. Like, Star Wars sells, so let's just make another Star Wars movie instead of like creating a whole new franchise, a whole new, you know, something.
Well, they are.
Who's directing this?
This is Ron Howard. He took over.
Oh, that's right.
So his brother's going to be in there somewhere.
That's
Ron Howard took over.
Opie Cunningham.
That's a good question, Chicken.
Yeah, because his brother's in all these little bit parts of his movies. And his brother's ugly as fuck. But he's in like so.
Yeah, he's been in everything.
He's that guy that like you'll just see like a
see,
quick.
40 years he's been in movies.
Wait, who's his brother?
Oh, God, he's made appearances, and he was in The Wraith.
He's in like almost every
80s
Ron Howard
movie. Oh, but 80s movie.
Wait, Ron Howard's brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Google him.
Yeah.
You Google him.
Didn't he show up like, why do I want to say, was he in the Burbs?
The Burbs? I love
not
that
in the
movie.
Burbs, right? No, he wasn't in the Burbs.
Ron Howard's brother, huh? What's his name, Frank?
I don't know.
George?
Ugly Howard.
Peter?
Let's see if it'll pull up under Ron Howard's brother.
Howard Howard?
Yeah, Howard Howard. he I'm telling you, he's been in Chicken's right. He's been in dozens and dozens and dozens of movies.
You're going to see him, you're like, that's his brother?
So Opie is the director of the Solo movie coming out.
Yeah, they fired a director.
He's a great actor. Think about all the movies that he's directed throughout the years.
Incredible. Listen, he took over and did a great job. He came.
Oh, yeah. he was in the Burbs.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I know that guy.
He came midway through. He was in the Wraith.
He looks like an
ton
alien.
Of movies. Yeah, he does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's in a ton of movies.
He looks like one of the Greys. Yeah. I know who he is now.
Yep. Many, many different
Howard
80s.
Howard.
Made. What's his name?
Shit, doesn't... Let's see. Let's go back to...
The Other Howard.
I looked it up under... Clint Howard.
Clint Howard.
Clint.
Yeah.
Clint.
Clint.
Yeah, he's an ugly looking dude.
You don't want to have that name when you're Ron Howard's brother. There's Clint Eastwood, and then there's just that's why nobody knows who he is. It's a Clint Howard. Fuck knows Clint Eastwood and Clint Howard in Hollywood. But yeah, he was in a ton of movies. But I think
yeah, he is.
It's gonna be hard to. I agree with what Chicken's saying because I mean Disney has control of the franchise right now.
Mm-hmm. Rogue One was good.
It was great, but they had independent directors.
Last Jedi?
See, this is the problem I'm having.
What'd you think of The Last Jedi?
See, I like Rogue One because they went back to that old style. It wasn't such a CGI fest.
And independent directors.
Right.
And that's what Ron Howard kept. He stepped on and took it away from that aspect, from the heavy CGI. And they did the same thing with the Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. They got a lot away from that.
I forgot what your rankings were for The Last Jedi.
Exactly the same
six,
as
right?
Same as you.
Yeah.
I was six, not right? in love with The Last Jedi, but I'm not going to say that it was a horrible film.
Yeah. It was because no Phantom Menace.
No.
And
no
it was
no
Attack
no.
of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones was the worst for me.
Yeah.
I have a theory though, and this is the reason why I don't completely hate The Last Jedi. Because I have a theory about The Last Jedi. And it's not a spoiler at this point because everybody has seen The Last Jedi. If you haven't, go fuck yourself because it's been a year.
Right. I haven't
so,
seen
you
it.
You know what I'm saying? So
I haven't seen it.
You're not a Star Wars guy, though.
But yeah.
No, but I watch them all just to kind of like see if I'm
right. But I mean,
I go into nothing wanting to like it.
It's nothing that you haven't heard, and I have a theory anyway about Luke's character. That it's not it. It's not it. I follow him daily on all of
what
the social.
That's called stalking.
He's not dead.
Oh, no, and I know he's not dead.
I don't think he's dead at all. I don't think he's dead. We learned some new things about him and new things about Jedi in the Force, and he wasn't even there during the scenes, and you know what I'm talking about, with Kylo Ren at the end. And, he projected himself into those scenes. So, and he, Mark Hamill, is going through everything that he's doing now and still hasn't shaved. He still got the beard. He's still rocking the beard, going strong. So I think that, it's going to be interesting, the final installment.
Wasn't there some deception between Mark Hamill and, like, the writers or the director?
No, because he went back. Lian Johnson, everybody is highly critical of him for The Last Jedi director. But as everybody knows in the Star Wars universe, he's going to be doing the new franchise and having some role in the new franchise, as far as and then the Game of Thrones writers are going to have some involvement in the franchise as well. So I mean, I think that they're going to take it in different directions. My fear is what Chicken said, that when you have mega franchises like Disney getting a hold of another mega franchise, especially in the transparency in social media day that we live in, they're literally talking about pumping, what, 2-3 Star Wars movies out a year.
They better not.
But they're going to. That's the point. And
like,
the chicken,
yeah.
That was great that you said that, because that's what is going to water it down and saturate the series, where people are going to be like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's starting to get to the Star Trek and remember like there's Voyager, Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. You're starting to see that with like Star Wars. They're going kind of backwards, forwards, sideways.
Because we tend to watch a movie, right? We watch these movies. See, you could do it with like the Star Wars universe because it's in the future. It's fantasy land, that type of thing. Because it's sci-fi. I was thinking the other day, and you know me, this was tough for me because I'm a huge horror movie fan. And then the buzz keeps coming around about, of course, the new Halloween movie, and then the projections for, new life into the Friday the 13th series and everything. And I just stopped to think one day. I'm sitting there and I'm like, Michael Myers is in his 60s. Jason Voorhees is like 70. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, come on. How much longer are you going to go? Say 10, 15 years from now, they're going to still be making, Friday the 13th movies when Jason's 90. Exactly. He's like 86 years old and he's still killing teenagers. I'm like, okay, we're getting a little out of hand here. You know, and again, I love the movies and everything like that.
Yeah, but aren't they technically sort of dead already?
They're all dead.
Well, but if you think about it, they never did that with the Jason Voorhees character. They just hit. They brought it into zombie land. There is an excuse and writing for Michael Myers' character because he's basically the boogeyman. It is a manifestation of your worst fears. That's what the shape is. That's what the character is all about. That's what people miss. That's why they call him the shape. It's because of the manifestation of the character and what he represents to people and like inner demons and that horror, the boogeyman in your closet type of thing. So, I mean, that's basically what it is. But I just hope that they don't saturate everything and dumb it down completely. Too many movies at once. Three movies a year.
Too much.
That's too much.
Well,
and
I'll tell you
what.
That's
too much.
One of the reasons why, like, when you had the first original three movies, right? Mm-hmm. You had, 30 years to fall in love with those characters? And they really developed each one of those characters individually. So each movie kind of stood on their own. I get it, all the stories tied together. But it always seemed like the first or the prequels that they came out with was kind of rushing you to tell the story, that you didn't really fall in love with any of the characters. And then they rush out and like, okay, we got three more movies. We hurry up and put them out, rush through the story. And then like you hop over the next three and you go to the next level. So now you're way far in the future. Now you got to fall in love with other characters.
Well, Z touched base on the critical error that even George Lucas is completely cognizant of now.
Then you go sideways with Rogue One, and now you got to develop even more characters. And like you don't ever have a chance to really fall in love with the characters like you did with Han Solo, Leia, Luke Skywalker. Those were your heroes growing up. Everyone ran around school.
That's what I loved about Rogue One, though, that everybody died.
That was brilliant writing.
I like how it tied things together. I liked it in that aspect. But like as far as the franchise is going, like who's your hero now? Who do you love?
Well, I mean, that movie was just telling a story leading up to
A
New Hope.
That's what I'm saying. You're just telling stories leading to another story. Whereas like back then, when you watched Return of the Jedi in Star Wars, you fell in love with the characters. Like you went outside as a little kid and like, oh, I'm Luke Skywalker. Well, I'm Han Solo.
You have to understand something. For our generation, we fell in love with those characters. And, I have a 15-year-old daughter and I, her friends and I listen to the talk and, nieces and nephews, et cetera, et cetera. We fell in love with Han Solo. They're falling in love with Ben Solo. That we fell in love with Princess Leia. They're falling in love with, Leia's daughter, and they're falling in love with.
Yeah, but as soon as you fall in love with that character, they go to a whole different direction.
No, but what I'm saying is there's a new cast of characters. They
new
have
trilogy.
They have Finn now.
I understand that, but there was the prequel three, so you're trying to fall in love with those characters, and then they hop over, and then they got a whole new slew of characters. Now you got to try readjusting and being like, oh, well, I want to follow these characters. Now I'm like running around going,
but
who the fuck are these
people?
No,
the prequels were the characters that you already fell in love with.
No.
Yeah, they were. Anakin, when he was a kid, is Darth Vader.
Yeah. Were you in love with Darth Vader when you were a kid?
But they already told the story of the original trilogy is what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying, but like you didn't have that same base of characters through all three of those movies that you can be like really kind of identify yourself with. There's no character development. There was no character.
CGI fucked it up. That's what fucked
it up. I think so, too. And CGI really, they took a lazy way out, it seemed like. Oh, let's throw a whole bunch of the special effects in there.
He made the mistake of innovation. He really thought that, you think about this. When he did the original trilogy, we all fell in love with it. He did the original trilogy. Back then, those kind of effects, even though mundane today were groundbreaking back then. And he thought the same thing in the early 2000s, late 90s, where he said, you know, I'm going to jump on the CGI and I'll take Star Wars into a different direction. What he didn't count on is people like us from our generation looking back and saying the nostalgia factor, and it was too much CGI, and it didn't look authentic at all, and it almost had like a fake aspect to it.
Like, look what I can do.
Right. And it was just overblown and too much.
It was too much.
And it was too cheeky, and the characters were cheeky as well, and it just didn't work out. I mean, out of the three, obviously I thought Revenge of the Sith was the best out of the three. Attack of the Clones was absolutely horrible. I mean,
it was the worst.
Terrible.
The worst out of all the terrible Star Wars movies ever.
Absolutely, absolutely terrible. And The Phantom Menace was okay at best.
Bandage has got a couple things. He's saying The Last Jedi was a bunch of lazy writing. And it's true. I think so, too.
What was disappointment as far as character development? I mean, in where character direction, I should
direction,
say.
Direction, yeah.
Direction, not development, direction.
I feel like they've already developed the characters in this.
But here's the thing.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
But
he's
no,
like,
but
it's generational, chicken. The original was in the 70s and 80s, and the prequels are in the 90s and 2000s or whatever you want to call it. And I get that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean you don't develop your characters. It's just poor, lazy writing. You're just hurrying, rushing through and telling a story and throwing a whole bunch of CGI into the mix, and you're not developing any characters. You don't love these characters like you love the original three. And I think they just didn't give enough time or energy to develop these characters because you knew you're just going to wash them away and develop new ones.
My favorite character was Darth Maul, and they killed him off in the first one.
Even the new ones are just modeled after the original trilogy. I mean, they're basically telling the same story of Luke Skywalker, and you know the whole thing is just added new characters and made it her girl instead of Luke Skywalker. I don't know. It just seems lazy.
It's going to be, I'll tell you what, it's going to be saturated because we're going to have, in 2019, we're going to get the last installment, the final episode of this latest trilogy, The Force Awakens, and we have The Last Jedi, and then whatever the name is going to be for the final installment. And that's the other thing. We're going to be left with what is going to happen because we have characters like Rey, like Finn, and Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, to go forward. There hasn't been a door closed with, in my eyes, with Luke yet or Leia, even though Carrie Fisher passed away. And then there's obviously there's talk of a brand new franchise being started, and that's where the rumors that I have heard, I don't know if you heard yourself about the Game of Thrones writers, that they're going to be doing the new franchise.
Oh wow.
See, now that would be cool. Like, put a little
Game of Thrones
style.
game for stoners?
Yeah, Game of Stoners. Style like Star Wars, that would be kind of cool.
I think they have a lot to bring to the table, and they're definitely on board.
Like, make it darker and more gory. And
yeah.
It wasn't fake news that they're involved. And for those fans, too, not to jump off subject, but they're deep into filming now. Very deep into filming because they started in October.
Wow. Good.
So, and they moved up the date for GOT fans.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't
for
know
the,
that.
Yeah. For
When's
the original. It is pushed up to spring of 19 now.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
we need it.
Yeah.
It's weird this year without having Game of Thrones on TV.
It is.
You know?
It is. I forgot how much the last few weeks that I actually miss it, but. To get the news that it's coming quicker and quicker and faster.
It's coming. Why do you always do, when you get on the microphone, you just start weird shit. You're like.
That's what I do.
You're like Mega. You have no radio etiquette.
No.
You don't. You have none.
This is not radio, first of all.
Well, see.
True.
Now, he's one seen his Star Wars in the movie theater, right?
Yes.
When you were in college?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm trying to fix your camera. East one in the house with us. How you doing,
everybody.
Buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good. Ace. You know, now that you're here, we do got to mention, we're going to jump off the movie subject here, and we got to mention here,
because
we booked something today. We threw it in the books. And
we volunteered you for something.
We volunteered you for something.
Awesome.
Again, like we always do.
Wait a minute. What's this about?
We got a big.
I already got one in there.
How do you look in a bow tie? Just a bow tie.
Not too bad. I got abs right now, so we're good.
You're getting there, kid. You're getting there.
So you might see them.
We've got a bunch. Can I talk now? Thanks.
I had coffee. Sorry.
We've got a bunch of events happening really, really soon. First, kicking off, our next event would be the Toast reunion over at Lukens on June the 1st.
Awesome.
That's going to be a great time. Our boy Todd, our partner, getting in the mix, stepping back into the shoes of Toast.
I'm looking forward to hearing him.
I had a request. I wanted our boy Todd to come dressed up as Rob Halford.
That would be great. And he would look awesome in that.
Wouldn't he?
Who's Rob Halford?
From right. Judas Priest?
You're muted.
Oh.
You're off. You're done. We're muting
you. Out of here. Yeah.
That's dismissal of muting right there.
It's been a mutiny.
Sorry. If you don't know who Rob Halford is, you're out.
Come on.
Not only that,
I'm sorry.
Not only do we have the Lukens thing happening with Toast reunion, but we were talking to our good friend Gia from the Home Ownership Center. And we've got a big event happening on June 8th, the block party at the Empowerment Center. It's right down the road, right here, down the street.
On James Street.
On James Street. That's going to happen from 4 to 6. It's on June the 8th, and she's got a lot of good stuff going on. There's going to be DJs.
He's one.
There you go.
Yes.
Vendors.
Yay!
Vendors grilling with the UPD. The UPD is going to be out there making hamburgers and stuff, and there's going to be hands-on crafts with BB Designs and seed bombs. You know about this whole seed bomb thing that's going on right now?
I do not. That's the first time hearing of it.
He's a seed bomber.
First time hearing of it.
You know what the seed bomber is?
No. I do not.
It's what they have is they put together – it's like a little – ball of like dirt and seeds and you just throw it in the ground and they plant flowers. It's like it's a progressive thing that's been going on in major cities.
You just gotta like throw it there. Okay. So you're walking through the street and you see like this yard with like all fucked up grass.
It's the kind of littering that will be positive.
It's not. Yeah, it's not littering. It's like adding compost, if you will.
Right. Well, no, I'm just making it.
But there's gonna be seed bombings going on.
That's cool.
And there's gonna be a lead safe demo and a whole bunch of things. The UF.
That I could learn.
The UFD is gonna be there. Games, prizes, so much more. That's happening at the Empowerment Center, and it's right here on 230 James Street.
I'm looking forward
right
to
down
that.
The street. You're gonna be out there DJing, and there's gonna be a lot of stuff going on. So we're looking forward to teaming up with our friend.
I'm super excited about that. I got a busy week that week too.
You know what's so cool is they're trying to do a positive event in a area of town that a lot of people don't see a lot of positive things happening.
Yeah,
and they're just trying to spread the love and do something good for the community for a little while. You know,
absolutely. And big ups to our friends from the Home Ownership Center.
They're awesome there.
Great people.
Yeah, I got my first when I bought my first house when I was 25. I went through them, and I suggest anybody that's first time home buyer or something like that, look into it. It benefits you. They're there to help you. They want you to win. So,
right.
I mean, I would do it. I probably will do it again. After 7 years, you get rid of your house. You're a first time home buyer again.
Rules change.
So exactly. So I won't be going through them again once I get settled. But.
Nice. So that we have that going on. That's June 8th. So that's the block party at the Empowerment Center over here in James Street. Then the very next day, we're all going to MVCC for the Relay for Life.
Busy week.
We're going to be out there doing our thing. We're going to be broadcasting live. You're going to be performing over there as well as our friends.
I got a busy week that week, and I'm not going to on-air meeting right now. I got to find someone to fill in for me for June 12th.
We'll figure that out. But anyways, the Relay for Life is going to be at MVCC. We're going to be there. It goes on for – it's a 24-hour thing, so it's all for the Walk of Cancer. I feel like I got cancer right now. Can't stop coughing. Anyways,
don't say that.
You guys are going to be there. Max Sheldon's going to be kicking it all off. Ease Beats and Biz will be in the house. Mutt Farm's going to be there. They've got a lot of great stuff going on for the Relay for Life. We're going to be broadcasting from like noon to 3 and hanging out with our friends from the American Cancer Society and all the good stuff that they got going on. Now, I say MVCC, it's in the quads. So you're going to be walking around the quads.
That's awesome.
Hi, Missy. Missy Peak checking in.
Hi, Missy.
What up, Miss?
That's happening on June the 8th, or June the 9th, I'm sorry. Wow, I'm choking over here. And then we got Summerfest coming up on June 21st through the 23rd. That's going to be downtown Utica, blocking it off with our friends from the event company.
That's going to be
event
awesome.
That's going to be a good time.
We're going to be
That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We will be down there broadcasting live like we're doing, and there's just so much going on.
Do what we do at the D.
I'll be passing out stickers. What's this thing with the bow tie you're talking about?
You'll see.
No. Yes. I don't want to. Why you volunteer me for stuff?
We do.
It better
be
fun, first of all.
Fesh is going to be there. She's going to be at
awesome.
Summerfest. I think she's going to be there painting faces.
Nice.
Painting people's
Maybe
faces.
Maybe I get a Kiss face done.
Yeah? Like,
that's always been a dream of mine.
What member of Kiss would you have done?
Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley, what about you?
Can I kick your ass if you do?
Come on.
The demon.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah. The demon.
What else would there be with this tongue?
Yeah, there's only the two. You know, I wouldn't want to be Ace or Peter. I'd
like Ace, really.
I'd be Gene.
I don't know. I got all the albums. Would you be I the, got the four
you,
albums home.
You
want to
be the Fox?
Go and look.
Huh?
You want to be the Fox?
No.
Eric, what was it? Eric
Do you
Carr?
Have all the albums?
Eric Carr. Do I have all the albums?
Yeah, was it the four albums with just their faces on it?
Well, that was the solo albums.
The solo albums.
They each did solo albums.
Yeah, you're thinking of Poison.
I have them home.
I have every one of them.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
They're worth about $150 or $200 right now.
No, really?
Yeah.
What, the solo album? The original solo
yep,
albums?
Yeah, all four of them. Really? You've got to be in really good condition.
My parents crawl space at their house, nice and taken care of, packed away. I have every one of Kiss albums.
Really?
Every one.
I'm telling you, back in the day, they're awesome. But my favorite one out of that, the solo albums, was Paul Stanley's solo album. Was great.
It was great.
Compared to the other three, Paul yeah. Stanley blew everybody else out of the water.
Of course.
They did. Ace tried to do it. But you always hear out of those solo albums, you still hear Back in the New York Groove still, though. Mm-hmm. All over the place, right? Yeah. I feel probably because we live in upstate New York, we hear that song a lot. But yeah. I think that's the song that stood the test of time when it comes to those four solo albums.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's going to happen at Summerfest. Kiss is not going to be at Summerfest or any of the solo
Thank
albums.
Thank God.
No. Chicken's the only
Do
one.
Do they have a main
like
act for that day? Kiss. Do they have any like big musical acts?
Better than Godsmack.
Better than Godsmack.
No way.
No.
Better than Judas Priest.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't know who Rob Halford
is. I know who he is.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Earlier, we were talking about Paper Mill Island. You came up and visited.
Listen. I seen a thing post yesterday about people complaining.
Do you believe that?
No. Listen, there's going to be complainers. It's just people, they're not open to it. I don't know why. It's such a great venue, a great little town. I can't wait to go back up there just to eat and go see a sunset, basically. But I can't wait for all the concerts up there. I had a great fucking time.
Yeah.
Great time.
Yeah, there was.
It's a great venue. The sound was, sounded great. Everything was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Great time. I can't believe all the amount of negativity that was going on in that comment on Facebook.
Stupid.
So much. It was just like, this
Well, there's
sucked.
Always going to be negative Nancy.
So, yeah. And there's some logistic things that need to be figured out. But bottom line, that place is a home run.
It place is a home run. It's like people in Utica. You know, basically, they're just stuck and they don't want, you know, it's for the town. You're bringing people into the town to spend money.
Yeah.
And, you know, right. Just because they're parking over there or the noise. I mean, it's done in by 10 o'clock, 10:30. Noise ordinance, right?
Done.
Done.
Boom.
What are you worried about? It's summertime.
How would you love to be living on that river and once every 2 weeks you get a concert in your backyard?
I know. And what do you. Everybody's
just love
different.
To complain.
Everybody is different, but, you know, it's. Stupidity to me. I mean, enjoy life.
We got people complaining about putting a gas station in.
Oh,
and
I know.
Putting a Stewart's in East Utica. Right. Oh, my God, let's throw a fit.
Yeah, that's past tense.
Yeah.
That's past.
But that's what I'm saying. They're going to find a reason to bitch.
My boy Sean's checking in and says Paper Mill was the best.
It was. Humphrey McGee, they were badass. So they're getting in, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, they started jamming out. All of a sudden, they started house music. And I was like, yeah. I could get right. I got right into it.
Yeah,
that was awesome. But you know, a lot too many people. I mean, it's groovy. It's got a nice beat. You know what I mean? So to me, it reminded me of house music, like the way they were going and everything like that. But they're just a great band altogether. The first time I experienced that, they're super dope.
That was the first time you seen them first.
Yeah,
oh, it was.
You know, I mean, most of the bands, Creative Conscience brings around everybody's got a groove to it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's funky, groovy. I mean, it's not hippie-ish. I guess I don't know. I mean, other than that, it's just really good music. Everybody's getting along, having a good time.
Yeah.
That's what it's plain simple. That's what it's all about. You're there for the music. Have a good time and relax.
I'm glad you came up.
I'm happy I came up.
It was a fun night.
It was.
You beat the traffic, too. He was like, I got to
get out
of here.
Fuck yeah. Dude, it was key.
I will tell you the one thing about Baldwinsville. It's one way in and
one way out.
And there's only one single lane. So, you know, if you're staying till the wee bitter end, you're waiting in traffic for
Andy Grammer's going
to
bring it.
Your pictures look... incredible. It looks like it's beautiful up there.
Oh yeah, it is.
It looked like it was beautiful.
It's on a nice little island and it holds about 2,000 people. I don't think we can fit more than 2,000 people on that island, but it's quite a venue. It really is.
I have to check that out.
You have to.
Yeah, it looked great.
Lots of good stuff coming up there. We're gonna mention it again one more time at Paper Mill Island. We've got Andy Grammer. That's on June 21st.
He's good.
Now, who is Andy Grammer?
You got to keep your head up.
Oh, gotcha. Whoa. I gotcha. Okay, that's Andy Grammer. He's going to be there on June 21st. Funny, I don't know.
No knocking him, but if I never hear that song again, I'm okay.
I'm right with you.
I'm okay with it.
June 27th. June 27th, Naco.
Probably why I don't like it.
June 27th, Naco and Medicine for the People. That's a very uplifting, inspiring show.
Really?
Kind of reggae, funky, world beat type
that's
of
stuff.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Very positive.
Definitely want to go.
Positive message, positive vibes, really spread positivity throughout
the
whole
thing.
Could I
put something out there, especially with creative concerts? It was a little quiet in between intermissions. I think they should have me DJ just to throw that out there. Just to let you know, creative concerts.
Mega already offered to play drums.
Did he? But, you know, I'm just saying. But, you know, the intermission is good.
Yeah.
You know, it calms everybody down, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. I just notice things. I just, you know, maybe I just want to be a part of things. That's all.
Another show you should check out, East Modest One, Wahyu. Is Modest Yahoo.
Yeah,
Modest Yahoo is great. He's a lot of fun.
Famous
George
Modest
Clark
Yahoo.
Jr., man. If you don't go see George Clark Jr. or something,
it's,
I mean.
You don't even know his name.
George
Gary.
Clark Jr.
Jerry.
Gary.
Oh, George. I was looking at something else. Sorry.
And then we're skipping Devin Allman. Devin Allman is July 28th. That's going to be a great show, part of the Allman Brothers family. And,
oh, wow. Yeah, what a fucking lineup.
It's a really, really good lineup. Sean's saying you did him at the Stanley at LOAMF. He's laughing his ass off at me. I think Andy Grammer is talking about.
Yeah, he was at the Stanley.
I don't
know. I don't think you were there yet.
I don't think I was there yet either, actually. No. I don't think I was. I wouldn't remember that one, I think. I don't know. I got to keep your head up.
Oh,
I
boy.
Think he sings that. I just heard it on the radio. That's why, on the way here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We'll have to find out who it is. So, many great shows coming up. We mentioned
he's
that
poppy.
Earlier. And then all the creative concert shows at the brewery, too. So, we'll be out there a lot, too.
This is all
doing some after parties and stuff.
Yep.
And
creative concerts does their things.
Absolutely.
The whole crew. Yo, your whole crew. Everybody that works together, they, like, they're a sound.
We're family.
Yeah. Yep. You guys are family. You all work great together. And, you know, it's nice. Every time I go up. Like, I go to the shows with you, I meet someone new, and everybody's cool as fuck. And they actually remember my face. I was, like, amazed by that. I was like, yo, they're like, Gabe, what up? I'm like, yo, what up?
What's going on at East Beats and Biz tonight?
Oh, we got something special, man. We got King Benny coming in with Blaze the Rap Bully. They're going to debut their joint together tonight.
They're rolling joints?
They're sparking a joint tonight?
They probably will. What's most
on?
Likely, but not on camera. But other than that, they're coming. They're debuting their song tonight. It's big for King Benny, man. He just don't come out with songs that much, especially, you know. He does stuff with Mobb Deep and,
yeah.
You know, and you know, he did stuff with Prodigy. He's going to be on Prodigy's album when it comes out. But other than that, he's Blaze and him together, you know, that's going to be something special. And then we got this kid Lucky coming in from Rome, too. He's going to spit some fire.
Oh, cool.
So,
spit that fire.
Yeah.
You got a lot of things happening.
Yeah, a lot of things happening.
No doubt.
These beats and biz.
Did you tell him about the other thing we got him going on?
What was the other thing we got going on for him? I know there was something
about
else.
Bow tie. I don't know. I'm not going to be here the 12th and 13th. I'll be gone for 2 days.
The grub
bow tie event.
The grub and gab.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Oh, the grab and gab. What are we talking about? We're going to be up at fucking Old Babies, baby.
Yep.
It's called the Grub and Gab.
The Grub and Gab.
By the way, I really like the name, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wasn't aware of that, but
kind of
very, very, very
back
good.
Back and forth with it. And actually, that didn't take too long. We just kind of threw words.
Z and I were kind of throwing some words out there, and we're like, oh, let's go with this.
Yeah, let's go with it. So the Grub and Gab is a new series that we're doing here on Disruption Network. Is we're going out to restaurants and pizzerias and bars or wherever.
Whoever will have us.
Whoever will have us. And we're going to have an event at these places. And our first one is June 26th at Old Babies on Oneida Street. Which is going to be a lot of fun. We've got you coming in there spinning a little bit, right?
Yep.
We're going to do live broadcast. We're going to do a bunch of games. We've got some games planned.
Cornhole and a few
others.
Yeah,
because we're going to raise some money for one of her employees who's sick with cancer.
Yeah,
so we're going to raise some money for a little bit of, for his benefit as well as, you know, eat a bunch of food. And we are also having the Goliath Challenge. So we're looking for contestants out there if anybody wants to get involved in this Goliath Challenge. It's like
Tommy will do it.
It's never been done before.
It's never been done before. And this is why we're having this competition to set the bar to see where the time limit should lay.
Well, what is it?
Well, what it is it's like five meats and like four different cheeses, and it's like 4x4 piece of sandwich and a basket of fries, or you get a choice
of. I could never do that.
It's a triple size of their regular.
Right.
Focaccia sandwich.
That's exactly.
Sounds like it's got Masucci written all over it.
It does.
And he's going to be there doing it. He's definitely going to be there doing it. And you have to finish a 2-liter bottle of soda or a 40. You're allowed to bring a 40 with you. So
yeah, that
originally
like
was
40 ounce of beer.
Yeah,
not interested.
Yep.
That's a lot of food. It's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food.
But originally it was a half hour time limit. Nobody's been able to do it. She said actually had one person fall asleep at the table trying to do it. So we're going to set the new bar, see who does it the fastest, and that becomes the new standard.
Yes.
And then you got to try breaking it. Then you get your picture on the wall. You get they get some other cool prizes coming out. So it's going to be fun. What are we going to set around 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Like bypass surgery is one of the gifts?
Yeah.
So that's happening at Old Babies. It's June 26th. Come on out. It's a Tuesday night. We're all going to be down there hanging out. The DJ's going to be there spinning up. DJ East 1. I think you should do East Beats and Biz from there.
I think so, too.
And then we're going to be down there doing the Goliath Challenge. So if anybody's interested in stepping up to the challenge.
Maybe I could get Biz to do it.
You can get, well, we got Masucci's definitely in it. He said he's definitely in it.
So I talked
to Masucci.
Asshole Sam, he's into it, too.
Sam's in it. Yep. And then there's, some MMA fighter that wanted to do it that Addie's got.
But, guys, and we're looking for a female. Addie said she wanted to see a female get out there and challenge the big boys. So.
I would love to see a female go down and mix it up with the boys.
Disruption
the
question. Network question. Yeah. Have we given up on the dunk tank?
No, never.
Never?
Never.
Not yet.
Well, that's good.
That's not going to happen there, though. But
I'm just saying separately. Just asking
the
questions.
Grub and Gab. Going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be talking about it for a while. We're going to be talking about it for all the way up to to the date.
It's
going to
be a lot of fun.
June what?
June 26th.
I can't wait to see these guys all line up and try getting the sandwich down.
Yeah.
And see what different kind of strategies they take. Some people might drink the drink first, or somebody else might wait till the drink's at the end.
How many times are people facing be like this?
I'll tell you what. I like the theory of drinking the 40s first, getting drunk, then grubbing.
There you go.
But you got to wash it down with puking. Something, though. You're going to have something to wash it down
bring
with.
More than one 40.
Can't drink the whole time during the thing.
East one's got radio Tourette's. There's all of a sudden you hear weird noises coming out of him for nothing.
I was wondering what he's doing behind me over here. He's like, ugh.
If there's any restaurants or bars out there interested in becoming part of our Grub and Gab series, hit us up, disruptionnetwork@gmail.com, or you can hit us up personally through Facebook or wherever.
Get us out of the studio.
Really,
it's summertime. Yeah. We want to be out there partying, man. Have a good time.
Well, we're going
to
be out there
doing it. I'm going to tell you right now, on Backtalk, I'm going to be doing some traveling episodes for sure. I'm going to make it happen. I have to get out there in the community.
Absolutely.
And do some interviewing people because I have quite a bit to ask people. It's hard to interact all the time just through the influx of the different social media platforms that we deal with.
It's better to go face to face.
And that's what I would like to do. I would like to interact with the people and just ask the questions that I have live to people and interact with all different people from the community, all different ages, and get their perspectives. It's important when you have a politically based show and shows that are about current events and pop culture to engage with people of all different races and genders and, different walks of life. So I'm looking forward to getting out there.
And you never know who you're going to run into.
Right.
I mean, we interviewed the Kite Man at the Flower Fest.
Funny.
That was great.
He went on for a minute.
He took over.
I went in the store, came out, still talking. I'm like, oh, shit. Getting deep over here.
He took right over. But that was fun.
Oh, how about that lady?
I did not even want to get into politics with her. But Tommy would have loved it.
We would have loved that day. Well, that's a basic question I get now because having the show for over a year, I'm starting to get recognized from people that know the show.
Is that where they drive by and honk the horn and flip you off?
Well, no, it's I have to admit something. People are much more engaging in person, in public, and they're not rude. They just ask questions.
Because now they're not a telephone tough guy. Yeah.
I really think when you have the broader discussions with people, it really does open up different avenues. And even if they don't happen to be in agreement with you, it makes them think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're changing perspectives when you give another perspective. It's not about who's right and wrong. It's about conflicting ideologies and principles, and that's what this country was founded on. So when people listen to the show and they have difference of opinion, I get people that stop me now and ask me certain questions. What do I think about this? What do I think about this? And, it's fun engaging with people. Even the people that say, look, I don't really like you, man, but the show was interesting last week, and I found out one of the things that you said was true, and I was surprised by that. And I like interacting with people, especially when they start off by saying, I don't really like you, but it's really cool to get that kind of perspective from people. I mean, I respect the honesty because I try to give it to people in the show.
Yeah.
And to have somebody, you know, basically tell you that, but they're listening anyway, it's cool to hear.
Right.
It's cool to hear.
And plus, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't want to chime in because they don't want to be caught in, like, some big argument.
Well, Z and I talked about that. That's a brilliant point.
But when they see you in person, they want to, like, express their opinion or be like, hey, listen, I agreed with you on that, but I didn't really want to
You're 100%
into it,
right, because there's so much. I'll tell you what it is. That's a brilliant point. People can't. There's people at work
right.
that work for government agencies, municipal agencies, local agencies, and they can't share their right. politics because it is not good for their career or their standing.
Or you just
don't want
to open that window of all these people like
right.
just jumping down your throat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have to be careful for it because it could affect their workplace and their standing in their workplace. So a lot of people will stop me, and so a lot of the people that obviously that agree with me will stop me as well and say, "Look, I would love to chime in, and sometimes I'm this close, but I can't." But continue the fight the good fight because there's people out there
Absolutely.
That are listening that can't chime in. So that's pretty cool, too. But I think, you know, where disruption is going and where you guys have allowed me to go is I'm looking forward to getting out there and trying to do different things with the show and interacting with people live.
And that's why we're doing things like this Grub and Gab series. Is like we want to be out there in the public and, you know, we want to be a part of events right. and stuff like that.
And there's a lot of places out there, like Laura, that want to do something different, a little more fun. And, it's summertime. They want to be out and create events while we still got the nice weather and do something a little different than just the humdrum. Like you're saying, like you're stuck inside. They are too.
Right.
So like bring a different event, bring people with you. But Dave actually said it could be illegal for people to express their opinions, express their viewpoints. He said the Hatch Act. So
peons.
Peons. Oh, sorry. I had the thing in my way.
Uh-huh. It could be illegal for peons to express their viewpoints.
I think people's was a little nicer, but. Yeah.
No,
I'm just knowing what Dave said. That's
yeah,
no, I mean, I completely get it. And it is, it's difficult for people. But I think it brings. And especially with a show like mine, generally people that are not politically engaged or, you know, socially conscious, they might find political discussions boring. But when you're out in a public setting and you're engaged with, you know, different people in a different setting, it becomes more interesting.
I'll tell you, man, when I go out in public and I'm talking about disruption, a lot of people are bringing you up to me.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's either 50-50. Either they love you or hate you.
Sure.
You know, and I love to hear the loves. You know that.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And then I get a lot of the, what's up with this Tommy Java guy? Yeah.
I mean,
you
I get know? That in public myself.
I get it a lot. You know, but that's great. And I always tell them, thanks for listening. You know, I appreciate you listening. At least they're paying attention. They know what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
Right. And I mean,
you're killing it out there, kid. You really are. I know you get fixated with sometimes the numbers and stuff like that, but you are killing it out there. You are turning some heads. You are.
It's important to.
You're creating reactions out of people, whether they love it or hate it. You're getting a rise out of them, whether it's positive or negative.
Oh, well, not only that, he's giving people a soundboard. You know, you see it all over Facebook. Get it off Facebook and put it on your show, like where you want to talk about it. Invite them in to talk about it right there and say, get off of Facebook and take it to the back talk.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's what it's designed for.
Trying to make Facebook great again.
I feel like, you know, the first year is you're coming into yourself and you're finding the platform of the show and the identity of the show. And once you get into that development, it's all uphill from there.
Yeah.
You know, you're broadening in your base and reaching, you know, different people and hopefully getting a bigger audience. And again, like you said, it's going to be 50-50. You're going to make friends. You're going to make enemies. But that's why I try to keep it even keeled on the show and basically give my perspective from, you know.
Yeah, like the other week, you actually agreed with some Trump shit.
Well, I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, again, I made it clear on the show today when I was talking about certain things with him that I didn't agree with, I also was talking about a lot of the things that on the other side with the DNC and Hillary that I don't agree with.
Right.
Right.
And I got a lot of surprising reactions from that personally afterwards where people were like, oh, man, I just thought you hated him. And I'm like, no, you have to really pay attention to this.
I hate everybody equally.
Well, it's a funny thing, though. Like, if you say anything, right? And you're anti, you say something against Trump, people automatically just say you're all the way to the left. And it's like, right. No, I fucking hate Hillary too.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, exactly. Well, you're
no. Exactly.
You're a hypocrite. No, no, I'm a free thinker. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. And those are the parallels that are getting touched now. And you know, that's the thing. And it's not just, it's from both ends.
Right.
Because if you're a Trump lover, you know, and you're pro Trump, that people automatically on the left think that you're a Hillary hater. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people that's just not the case.
In terms like I only understand, you know, going back to football, it's like the Cowboys and in New England Patriots in Super Bowl every year, and you're forced to like take sides in which one you like, and I'm like, I hate them both.
Right. Well,
you know,
great analogy. This year when people were saying I didn't watch football, but people know that I know quite a bit about football, so they would ask me, well, just tell me who you would like to see win. And I'm like, I equally loathe both of those teams. So I legitimately mm-hmm. don't care who wins. I don't.
Right.
I have no interest in the game.
First year, I never voted. Was this it passed?
Right. And election. I mean, and it's a tough situation. Z and I broke balls about it a lot, and I equated it to, I mean, 46% of the electorate stayed home in 2016. That's overwhelming because people felt like that. They're
half
like,
the country.
It's half the country. You're walking into a room and one door says AIDS on it and the other one says cancer, and they're telling you have to pick a door.
I was saying it's always between a piece of shit and a turd.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean,
like, which one do you want?
You literally have two horrible choices. And you know, for most Americans, they sat it out. And for another percentage of Americans, they went third party. And, you know.
This microphone shot.
We're getting a couple people checking.
I ran into that.
Somebody freaking stole our microphone, but that's for another. So.
we're getting into a couple earlier. People checking in. Dave's saying, when he worked at the National Park Service and a federal employee, I was bound by the Hatch Act to not engage in active political discussions to simplify the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you're all the way to the left, even fairly left, and you don't like Hillary or Trump, for what it's worth. So you're just saying if you're all the way left and you hate
I've
them
ever
both.
Heard, left or right.
Sure.
I know,
it's
I hate
be
that.
The
you,
dumbest
you,
thing I've ever heard.
If you like call people left or right, if you refer to them as left or right,
how
you're part of what's wrong with this country because you're dividing more people. And
no, that's the plan.
It's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, well, that's your entire people, if you're not for Trump, your entire people are this class right here. And if you're anti-Trump, then you're all the way to these people. And it's like, no, maybe there's people in the middle. How about we come to the middle and meet to an agreement?
Politics now, huh?
I know.
Like, I know. That's fired. Can we stop about the politics?
Sorry.
I avoid everything possible.
Mary's also checking in. Mary Fesha like saying she wants to do a show on the road called Bitchcraft. Chicks doing chick things.
Bitchcraft.
Goat yoga, for example. What is goat yoga?
Is goat yoga?
I was about to explain it to you. Asked again. It's when you do yoga with like goats.
He gave you the mega voice.
I know you are mega. This thing sucks. Time for a new microphone already. Somebody stole our other one.
Who stole the mic?
Somebody took their ball and went home. We'll just leave it at
that.
We'll leave it at that. But anyways. Yeah, goat yoga. You actually do yoga with goats.
I'm not gonna touch that.
I'm not gonna go near that.
I don't even want to.
There's
know.
A yoga thing for everything now.
Is this from like?
I don't know. Not interested.
Alabama or something?
Yeah. Upstate New York for sure. Because they got this whole new thing going on.
My only question would be, what kind of sick
baby goats.
Demented fuck thought of that?
I don't know.
Baby
really?
Goats.
Really? Who,
oh my
who
God.
Thinks of something like
Mary,
that?
Mary, can you chime in on this a little bit? She's saying it's baby goats. Like, let us know the whole thing
God.
That goes on with goat yoga.
My God.
Like, yeah. I've heard of beer yoga. You stretch, take a sip. And there's also weed
wine,
yoga going
wine.
On. Wine.
Wine yeah.
There's also in Colorado, you got, like, this whole weed yoga thing going on. You take a bowl, hit, and you do
that's just being high. It's not really yoga.
It's called high and stretching.
High and stretching.
Yeah.
So now this whole, it's in Boonville, of course, she's saying. Of course it's in Boonville. Where else
no.
is it going to be?
Shocking.
So yeah, goat yoga, you stretch with goats. And yeah, I imagine they stick their horns in your butt when you're trying to stretch it.
And stick their horns in your butt.
Sylvan Beach, they got meth yoga.
That's in Camden. And Ilion.
Crazy meth stuff.
Very relaxing.
Crazy stuff.
Very relaxing.
And now this is my feeling. We're turning even something like yoga... saturating that and just turn it into shit. Now it's not even you hear yoga now and you're associating with goats and I mean, come on, man. It's just ridiculous. Right. Stop it. Let the people that do yoga do fucking hot and cold yoga.
All right. Mary's saying it's awesome. They wander around and jump on your backs and you can hold them.
you know where Mary. Else you could do that?
I love
on a firm.
Mary.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. Let me. I gotta say though,
they do this at Fort Ricky.
When you're doing yoga, though, aren't you supposed to meditate and like be in your own zone and stuff? Yeah, you don't need these distractions of these baby goats jumping all over you.
I hear a lot of people fart in yoga.
What?
Yeah, that's true. What I hear. I really don't.
Oh, that stinks.
But you're doing yoga.
No, you do.
You do yoga?
You know
I just heard that.
Oh, I thought you said while you were doing yoga.
I heard that.
What's wrong with you doing yoga?
No.
If people are farting, I'm not making it through that because I'll just start laughing.
I wasn't knocking yoga. I was surprised. I thought he was saying that he's doing yoga now.
The reason why.
I would do it in my downward dog.
I'd try it. Why not?
I would try it myself.
Yeah, when you're stretching, you're releasing
I'm open to anything.
Can I talk?
Yes. I had coffee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I'm going to mute him again. He's mega today. It's Mark Altamero over here.
It's my cousin.
Gabe Flagg.
Mega easy one.
When you're stretching, you're releasing the toxins in your body. You do these little weird, and it will cause you to fart and burp and stuff. Like the couple times I did yoga, I was farting my ass off.
Are you serious?
And I almost puked too. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
From the farts?
Uh huh.
Maybe the D should go yoga-ing or whatever it's called.
Go yoga-ing.
I wouldn't want to go to goat yoga because...
No, I don't want to do goat yoga. Let's go to the hot yoga.
Like, when
something.
You're going to a yoga class, you're supposed to be there and meditate and get within your body and connect your mind, body, and soul and not have goats jump all over your back. I can't see that happening.
Sorry.
Yeah, you get some goat chewing on your ass when you're, like, doing some stretch. Like, what
crazy.
The
nuts all hanging out in the fucking goat.
Yeah, you're getting teabagged.
Goat nuts. You ever see the size of goat nuts, ball?
No, I have not.
She's saying there's no horns, dork. But don't you want to see this? I'd check it out. That would be kind of cool. Going back to Mary's original question, though, is we do need a woman show on this network.
Definitely.
We do, whether if it's with goat yoga or not. We do need a woman show on this network. Mm-hmm. Desperately.
Yeah,
desperately.
We do.
And we need women that can actually put up with us.
Well, that's a small group of people.
Yeah, well, it'll take somebody that's earning their wings for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you add yoga is boring, goats help.
If you have ADD.
Oh, ADD. Oh, okay.
I do.
I got ADD. If you have ADD.
That is funny.
If you have ADD, yoga is boring, but the goats help. You're like, oh, we got a goat.
That's good enough.
I feel like I'd get hurt though. Like you'd be stretching and then all of a sudden I pull something trying to get the goat off my freaking kneecap or something, you know.
And then you do an extra session of yoga to heal yourself.
Yeah. And Kate's agreeing with something. Who knows? We're so ADD around here. We don't even know what she's agreeing with.
Oh,
goat yoga.
I'm
dark.
I just can't get past
yoga.
The whole idea in the visual of goats and yoga. Just no. For me,
and
it's a no for me.
I want to
know yoga farting.
I want to know the guy that came up with this idea and thought it was.
That's what I'm saying.
A
sick, demented.
I don't think it was a guy.
No,
I got a feeling it was a woman.
It was definitely a guy.
Look it up.
I think it's definitely a woman.
It's a guy from
Google
Blueville.
I think it's going to be a guy. I could be wrong, but I think a sick.
Oh, she agrees with a female presence on network. Kate, get your butt in here, then.
Yes, we need a female woman.
Female woman.
You know what? That's a good idea, Z. I think later on, I'll put a post up and. A recruiting post for the D.
We do. We need a woman show. We're going to be building this new set as soon as we get these floor joists in, these floor jacks, and put this new bar in here because we do have a bar. It's already made and ready to go. It just needs to be put into the studio. But we do need to put some floor jacks in so it doesn't go through the floor because it's made of solid concrete.
Yeah, that's not the set we want.
Big ups to my boy Nate from Stoneworks Concrete for making the bar for me. But we're going to be putting this bar in here, and we do need another show to throw behind it. We need women. Like, I'm sick of you guys, dude, honestly.
Sad song by Mars Needs Women.
Did you have a delicious dish?
Mary says it was a woman that invented it, so.
It was. There you go.
Well, right chicken,
I
bow to you, brother.
Because you got baby goats. Like, no guy's like, we're going to do yoga with baby goats.
That's a good point.
Especially
for
Boonville.
You know. I stand corrected. That was a good point.
Goat yoga. We should actually bring the owners of Goat Yoga in, and maybe they could bring a couple goats, and they can tell their side of the story.
Do you think around here?
Do you think you're doing a red and black?
Where have you been for the last half hour?
I thought you were just talking in general.
Boonville.
I thought you were just talking in general.
My God, you're muted today.
I'll tell you what. Listen, baby goats, though, are cute.
They are
cute.
But do you have to do this in, like the uniform? Is it, like, a black and red checkered, like, flannel? Like, is that, like, what you got to do the
That's
yoga?
It's not bullfighting.
Well, no, it's like goat yoga, man. It's like from Boonville.
All right, but it's not, I don't know.
Camouflage,
it's just the whole thing is odd to me.
Dave is saying home free when Adeline is hosted by women. Yeah, we understand that, but we need more.
Like a delicious dish type thing.
A delicious dish?
And I think Eddie would enjoy having a little bit more estrogen around here as well and not just putting up with our antics on a weekly basis.
All right.
We do like a show like Wine What's Wine. You know, like
Mary.
Women and Wine.
Mary's going to get them in to the studio. So, Mary, if you can line that up for me, that would be great. We'd
the
love
women,
it.
Not the goats.
I am not going to miss that. No, you got to have the goats.
Got to have the goats.
Got to
have the goats.
Got to have the goats.
That'd be dope.
That's I'm going to check it out because of the goats, not because of the yoga. The goats.
Right. Got to have the
for
goats.
For sure.
100%.
Plus, I want to interview a goat and find out what they think about the yoga.
And I've never cleaned up goat shit before, and I'm sure they're going to shit all over the studio, so let's see what happens.
I say we sneak a skunk in.
They'll fit right in with all the animals we have around here anyway.
No doubt.
This is a virtual zoo anyway.
No doubt. It really is.
For sure.
It really is.
Definitely smelled better than the show before.
Durr, fucking durr. Anyways.
Yes, sir.
It's time to close it out. It is time to close it out. Ease Beats and
Biz
coming up 8 o'clock tonight. He's got a lot of good stuff coming up with King Benny and a couple other rappers coming through, doing some spitting, rolling up some joints, doing all that stuff that you guys do.
All the
Ease
good
Beats
stuff. That
actually,
they
you guys
don't
roll
smoke.
Up any joints.
No,
it's,
I don't.
It's unfortunate.
Smoke. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. But you always say, he's got a hot new joint.
Hot new joint,
which,
man.
Which means song.
Song,
see,
joint, it's
you
new
can't
joint.
Say that around chicken.
Yo, they're sparking a new joint. I'm like, word?
Word?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, do it. Kive some?
Pass to the left.
You can't say that stuff around chicken.
Okay.
He gets excited.
He does. Yep.
Ease Beats
chicken?
Ease Beats of Biz tonight, 8 o'clock. That's going to be
I'm excited.
Off the chizzy.
I got some stuff lined up for the next couple weeks. So
good, about time.
I'm kind of ahead of the game trying to at least, so I ain't got to worry about it each week. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool, man. Yeah. And then Back Talk, don't forget Back Talk is on Tuesdays and Friday mornings. Back on the D, baby.
Back
on the D.
Drama is back.
Back.
Little sabbatical last week, but he's back. He's in the captain's seat now, too.
Yeah, you can barely see over the count. The computer's over here.
All right, get you all your small jokes in now, chicken.
No, but like, I told him.
He doesn't make fun of you being fat.
Yes, he does.
Oh, maybe he does.
No, I love the fact that Tommy's behind the board because it gives you better control of your show. You can actually take the control.
It was pleasantly surprising.
And now you can see the comments coming through. And
yeah,
that.
it was a great experience.
It's tough behind there.
It
you're looking at
it
everything.
Is.
You're like, oh.
Again, I'm not going to take. I'm going to definitely say it. I'm not going to take any credit for today because a shout out to Todd again. He saved my life because I sat down and I was fumbling and making all kinds of mistakes, and he walked me through it.
Dude,
but
I still do it. I still do it. And Todd's always there to help out.
Todd's
a
guru.
So do I.
It's going to be a transition, but it is fun.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, the show is not the same without you sitting in. I know it's boring for you, but I have to say, people do enjoy that you're on the show as well and the interaction and everything. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition because you're very busy at work, and you know to not have you there in the you know the co-pilot seat is kind of weird, but. You know,
I also feel like it's going to take you in another direction, though, because you have everything here. If there's something you want to get into, like, you know, on the web or something, like you a drop you want to play or something like that, you have all control instead of trying to convey it to Z while you're on air, you know, and get back and forth with the people calling.
And I got some guests lined up. I've been pounding the pavement. And, you know, this is the first week that I had multiple guests for the week. You know me, usually I have guests pop in, but. You know, I had guests today, and I'm having guests Friday, and next Tuesday there's guests coming in. So, you know, I got the schedule. I'm stepping up the guest list, and you know,
busy. That's good, man.
Yeah, we're going in a different direction.
Wait,
so
until you get on the road. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
And I have to have Chicken back on because he makes for good back talk.
We get arguments.
Yeah, but and
it's fun.
And we do agree on a lot of things as well. So,
and it was cool. Like one of the last times I was on. we got in a debate about, you know, gun control, whatever, and we had some people on each end of the spectrum bitching, and by the time the show got over, they were kind of meeting in the middle a little bit, going, okay, I see your point of view. I see your point of view.
And that's what's important.
And that's what it is. It's like, open up people's eyes to a different point of view.
Good. Well, bringing them together.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
It's awesome. Cool. You guys are all doing great jobs out there with the D-line and East Beats and Biz and Backtalk.
We're trying.
And the Baseline and Home Free Podcast and tomorrow.
Oh, mother,
the D's killing it, bro.
I got to mention.
Everybody on the D is doing an awesome job.
I got to mention Wrestle Fandom Radio. Yep. They'll be on tomorrow.
They missed a week, didn't they?
They missed a week because of me. All right, Chicken, I know you're trying to throw your little
hey,
things in right now.
I get my balls broken for
what?
Equipment errors, so I just had to throw
it in.
You've
only been doing a show for a full year, and you guys still haven't figured it out yet. So
well, because every time we go on air, it's different.
That's not. It hasn't been different in months. It's been a couple months.
2 weeks.
1 month.
Kiss my ass.
Whatever, boys.
Tune in to East Beats of Biz tonight and Back Talk on Friday. And the D-line, well, we really don't care if the D-line ever comes back again.
Oh, you
Before we get out of here, love and respect out to Steve Ponte, V-Dub. Stop down to the showroom at 5046 Commercial Drive in Yorkville and see why it's easy to do business with Steve Ponte Volkswagen. Hit him up on the net at steveponteVolkswagen.net. And if you need legal help quick, you better call
Nick.
You need legal help quick, you better call Nick. Call Nick Pasalacqua and his team of associates at 315-500-NICK or hit him up at cnytriallaw.com. And everybody knows a good quality home inspection is?
Priceless.
Priceless inspections. Our good friend Josh Amodio. Call him today for your next home inspection, 315-525-8725. In-depth detail reports, thorough inspections, pays attention to the details. Josh has been doing it for a long time. He comes into your house early morning. He goes through every inch and every centimeter of your house. He takes a selfie on the roof. He takes a selfie in the bathroom.
He does. Not the bathroom, on the roof.
No, Josh is a great man. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows a good quality home inspection is very important to you. And call him if you want to update your home or if you're looking to put your house on the market, or if you're looking to buy a home, call Josh today. Priceless Inspection, 315-525-8725. I don't have a guest tomorrow.
No?
No. We're supposed to have one today, too, and they canceled, but that's okay because we always call in our friends. I don't have a guest tomorrow, so if anybody's interested, hit me up. Come on. Hang out with us a little bit. And on Thursday, we're going to have Michelle Truitt come in and talk about the Levitt concert series that's going to be happening.
Good. I seen the list. What do you call it?
You've got a lot of good stuff.
The roster going on.
You've got a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff, man.
And that's going to be happening all in Colin Kaepernick Park.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick.
It's nice. It was a nice time there last year.
Flower Fest is cool, too, over there in the park. And
that
then
was awesome.
And then this year with the Levitt concert season in full effect, Michelle's going to come in and talk about that as well. So that's happening on Thursday. Lots to look forward to.
Yeah, check in with the D, though, man. We got a lot of stuff coming up. A
lot of stuff going on. And then this weekend's Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yep.
I never
weekend.
Memorial Day.
Memorial.
Memorial
Day. So we probably won't be in on Monday. We'll probably be out celebrating the holiday. And Chicken's going to be stuck in the woods.
Yep. I'm going off the grid, baby.
He's going off
stuck
the
in
grid.
The woods.
Stuck in the woods. So
I'm plugging.
Fucking Long Johns.
It's going to be 80. Come on.
It's going to be fine. I want to remind everybody you can listen to this podcast and previous podcast of EC Radio, Back Talk, East Beats and Biz, the D-Line, the Baseline, Home Free, Wrestle Fandom Radio, all the great content that we have here at DisruptionNetwork.net. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all the social media platforms, Twitch, Restreamy. We're on Spotify. And also hop over to iTunes and Google Play because you can catch EC Radio and all the great content at Disruption Network on Google Play and iTunes. Google. Give us a little review on iTunes. That would be cool. And click the 5 stars if you would. That would be pretty cool of you. We would greatly appreciate
greatly
it.
Appreciate
we'll
that.
See you tomorrow.
We Bye. Are a generation of lost masculinity, and we got to start getting it back. No matter if you're straight or gay, no matter if you stick it in the front or you stick it in the rear, for the love of our sons, we've got to stick it in there like a man.
You know what the hell you're listening to?
It's EC Radio.
EC Radio, right here on the Disruption Network. It has certainly been a long and winding road, as the Beatles so aptly put it in the song. Tell us how it's brought you right here to this very moment.
Well, you know something, Bad Rich? I feel like every moment in my life has led up to this moment right here. And EC Radio, teaming up with the Disruption Network, only here to kick ass and take names. Can you dig it, brother?
All right, 2017. You spent the past several years establishing yourself as one of the finest practitioners in radio podcasting. People want to know what to expect.
You live by the book, then you die by the book. And I'm here to throw out the rule book and break all morality code here on the Disruption Network, daily from 3 to 6, EC Radio, brother!
Utica, New York, we're coming for you Monday through Friday. Don't you dare miss it.
The Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley was born when three top producing agents with over 25 years of combined experience selling real estate joined forces to take real estate to the next level. We practice with honesty, integrity, and the knowledge to help make the buying and selling process easy and stress-free for all of our clients. We pledge to always make our clients our top priority from start to finish and even after the house is closed. We will always be a valued resource for information and assistance for our buyers and sellers. Our customers over the years have become not only past clients, but great friends. As we join hands together as the Property Sisters of the Mohawk Valley, we look forward to serving our clients and our community and making a positive difference. You can reach us at 315-601-9630 for all of your real estate needs.
When it's your hard-earned money on the line that you are investing into a home, it makes sense to choose a proven professional to assist you in making one of the biggest investments you may ever make. Josh's dedication of over 20 years to the home construction industry allows him to bring knowledge and experience to your doorstep. That means you can feel confident and comfortable with his service to you. Past clients love his attention to detail and thorough written reports. By allowing priceless inspections to help you make a well-informed decision concerning your property, you will find that a quality inspection is priceless. Follow Priceless Inspections on Facebook or call 315-525-8725.
Hi, this is attorney Nick Passalacqua. The team of attorneys I have assembled at Passalacqua & Associates has been carefully hand-picked to include the best trial attorneys in the particular areas of the law that we practice. Have you been charged with DWI or any other crime? Members of our team include former assistant district attorneys, now fighting to protect your rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have you or someone you love been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident? Members of the team at Passalacqua & Associates include former insurance defense attorneys, now fighting to ensure that you get every penny you're entitled to. If you need legal help quick, don't waste your time or money calling anyone else. Remember, for legal help quick, you better call Nick and the team at Passalacqua & Associates, 315-500-NICK or 315-500-6425, or visit cnytriallaw.com today.